Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Sunday, August 5th, 2012. This is episode 898. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by RingCentral, the number one cloud-based phone system. Zero startup cost and just $20 per month per user. Try it now with a 30-day risk-free trial. Buy one desk phone and get a second phone free up to 20 phones. Call 800-543-9980 or visit ringcentral.com and use the offer code TWIT. Well, hello there. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. And it is about to begin, yes, for the next couple hours. Maybe three, if you're really lucky. We'll talk about computers, the internet, camcorders, MP3 players, home theater, and all that jazz. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. The brand new website, Tech Guy Labs, is up and running. And I invite you to visit techguylabs.com. Let us know what you think. It's a, you know, what's great about this is it's going to be an opportunity for you finally to play the home version of our show, to help us out, help me out, help the listener out, help yourself out. Because if you go to the Tech Guy Labs site now, the way we've set this up, and we've always had a website since 2004 for this show. I started doing the Tech Guy in January 2004. We are here now at 898 episodes, so there is, you know, there's always been something. But I think what I was really looking for is a way for you to talk back, because I hear it all the time. Oh, I love listening to you, Leo, so I can yell how stupid you are. I can yell, oh, that's, or, you know, sometimes people do it like a quiz, like they try to answer the question before me and see if they get the same answer, that kind of thing. Well, now you can play the home version of our game. At techguylabs.com. If you see right on the front page there, you'll see an episode guide, and all the episodes from now on will be there. We're slowly getting all of the 898 previous episodes on there. It's going to take a little while. We're only moving them over. But meanwhile, as you know, we've got, I think, the last few months of shows there. Josh Windisch has been scribbling away getting all that stuff there. And now when you go to an episode, you can see all the questions. You can click on the question, see the video of me answering the questions and or read the notes that Josh takes and James Ruvo, our note taker, take. And then you can shout back because there's a comment section and you can say, no, there's a better way. There's an easier way. And I love that. I encourage you to do that because what that means is over time, more and more the site. And by the way, the site is free and will always be free. I'm never going to charge you for anything I do. It's all free. So that way I don't want you to feel like you're helping a paid entity here. No, we want to make a resource where people can go and say, hey, how do I add Save As to Mountain Lion? And yeah, they can search for it and they'll find it. They'll find my answer, but they may also find your answers. You can vote on the answers. So the best answers will rise to the top. I think this could be a very valuable resource for tech information. So that's the goal here. And I appreciate your help. So take a look at it. TechGuyLabs.com. That's the website. And you'll find the phone number there, a link to our chat room, links to the podcasts of this show. We make podcasts available of the show in audio and video after the fact. 8888-ASK-LEO is the phone number. 888-827-5536. So one of the topics I want to talk about today is really kind of a fascinating and in some ways horrific story by a guy I know named Matt Honan. He wrote for Gizmodo for a while, and I think now he's writing for Wired. He's going to write this up, I know, for tomorrow at Wired.com, but you can read about it on his blog, EmptyAge.com. He was hacked, and I'm not sure exactly what happened, but according to his blog, his blog, here's what happened, and it was pretty horrific. on I think it was on Friday, somebody got into his iCloud account. He's using Apple's iCloud. By the way, some of this is Matt's fault. He didn't have a good backup. But nevertheless, this would still be horrific for anybody, backed up or not. Somebody got into his iCloud account. That's the Apple kind of storage account. Reset the password and then trashed the confirmation message because, see, Matt had it wired. And this is there's some lessons to be learned here. Lesson number one is do not have confirmation emails or password reset emails go to the same address that is being hacked. So the hacker got into his account, changed the password, and then made sure that he never saw the message that your password has been changed. The backup email address on his Gmail account was his, now you can see this coming, his .Mac address. So the hacker then went to his Gmail account, said, give me, I've lost my password, had the recovery email sent to the account that he had compromised. Now the hacker's got both his iCloud and his Gmail. Now, here's an interesting feature of iCloud, the new iCloud. You can wipe the data off of stuff in case, let's say, your iPhone gets lost. There's a button on iCloud that says wipe the data on the iPhone. So the hacker did that. Wipe the data on my iPad. So the hacker did that. And then the worst of all, wipe the data, if you're using Mountain Lion, on my desktop, on my computer. And the hacker did that. Then they took over his Twitter account, same attack. So now the hacker has control of his Twitter account, his Gmail account, his iCloud account, has wiped the data off of his three devices completely. Poor Matt, he says, I was playing with my daughter when my phone went dead and rebooted. That was irritating. I wasn't worried. I thought, man, it's a software glitch. But I'll just back it up from iCloud. He logged into iCloud, wasn't accepted. He says, again, I was irritated but not yet alarmed. I went to connect it to my computer, restore from that backup, you know, which I had happened to do the other day. When I logged into my laptop, iCal said, hey, your Gmail account information's wrong. The screen went gray and asked for a 4-digit PIN. I didn't have a 4-digit PIN. By now, I knew something was really wrong. He grabbed his iPad, erased. He called Apple tech support. Well, it turns out it's interesting. After going through, the hacker sent him a message, by the way. The hacker sent a message says, I didn't guess your password or use brute force. That's where you just try and try and try until you find the password. He says, well, I have my own guide on how to secure emails. Turns out the hacker and Apple have now confirmed the hacker called Apple tech support and used social engineering, said, oh, I forgot my password. Apple went through a few security questions that weren't so secure and gave the guy the password. Poor Matt Honan. M-A-T-H-O-N-A-N. If you want to Google this, his webpage is mtage.com. So what have we learned? What have we learned? Well, quite a few things. One, have a good backup, okay? That is not, you know, probably he had an iCloud backup. So maybe you want the, remember I talked about all the time, the 3-2-1 backup, three copies of everything, two different places or media. One is off-site. Have better backups. He lost everything. He lost a year's worth of work. That's one. Two, you should have good security questions that actually aren't correct. So people, you know, for instance, when a website says, what's your mother's maiden name? I say Banana Slug. That's not her maiden name. And it's not what I say, but I say something, you know, not related. When they ask, what was your favorite movie? I don't say Lord of the Rings. I don't say Dr. Zhivago. I don't say my favorite movie. I say something like a Toshiba laptop. You know, something that I will remember, and I usually make a note of these somewhere, but not that somebody could guess. That's a good one because that's a very common. These security questions are a very common way to get hacked. You should be very careful about and think hard about where you get have your password recovery emails sent. You know, it's good to turn on something. And as soon as I read this story, I immediately rushed over to Google. They have something called two-factor authentication. Now, it's a little bit of a pain. Good security is. But Google has it set up so that not only do you enter a password to get into your Google account, but it sends a message. It uses something called the Google Authenticator to send a 6-digit number to your phone. And you need that, too. So it's called two-factor because in order to get into my Google account, it's something I know, my password, and something I have, my phone. And if a bad guy doesn't have both, then I'm safe. There's some real lessons to be learned here. It is terrifying. Terrifying. All right, let's go to the phones. Back up, folks. 8888 Ask Leo. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So we got, boy, do we have a packed house here. We've got Chris, Melissa, John, Mitch, Rob, Gabe, Rachel, and Stuart.
It is the hottest topic in business today. And I have to say, it is what I recommend. Moving.
Then there's overflow? Holy cow. Well, that's wonderful. It's nice to see you all. Chris and Melissa Holt. Nice to see you. Where are you guys from?
Texas.
Are you on vacation? Well, thanks for making this part of your trip. Who's the long-suffering spouse here? Melissa, if you get bored, there's all great coffee shops, antique stores. That's true for any of you. There's always a long-suffering spouse. John, Mitch, Rob?
Gabe.
I did my best.
Stuart.
Okay, I'm completely wrong. And are you guys, who is together? You two?
Yeah.
Father, son?
Yeah.
Nice to see you. Where are you guys from?
L.A.
Great. Stuart and Robert. Right, and you're just up for vacation? Or? No. You drove all the way to see me from L.A.? Wow. That's nice. Thank you. Okay, now let me see. By a process of elimination, I have no idea. You must be Rachel. You are. And you would be Gabe. I got it. And where are you guys from? Oh, wow. On vacation? Long-suffering spouse? Yeah. Well, at least you got a nice chair. She's got a terrible seat, and she's suffering. Nice to see you. And you're on vacation in the wine country? Yeah. It's nice, isn't it? Yeah, good. Well, first time here? Yeah. You too, you guys? First time here? Yeah. Oh, I like Japantown. That's fun. There's the sushi boats. You got to go to the sushi boats where the sushi goes around in a little boat, and you grab it as it goes by. It's in Japantown. The sushi boats. It's Matt Honen, and I know Matt. His Twitter account is, no, it's just at M-A-T. He's a long-time tech guy, been around for ages, and I know him pretty well. And there's the post. Yes, I was hacked hard. And this guy is a smart guy, although not smart enough to have good backups. But we're going to have Matt on Twit this afternoon at 3 by phone because he can't use any of his devices. But he'll be on by phone, and now he's writing it up for Wired. He doesn't want to give us the whole story because he doesn't want to scoop himself. I'll get it out of him. I've been watching the newsroom. I know the techniques now. I'm going to beat it out of him. But what I don't know is what exactly happened with Apple. He's saying basically it was social engineering. I'm not sure if it's security questions. He actually says it's not security questions, but then and then I've read other things that imply it is, so I don't know. And don't forget, and we'll mention this on the air too, Curiosity Lands tonight will be... Somebody tweeted, okay, yeah, the Olympics are cool and everything, but tonight, what is it, John, a $4 billion, no, $2.6 billion project to put a rover on Mars. It's being lowered from a platform via nylon wires, something so complex they could not even try it on Earth. It's never been tried, let alone done. And we will broadcast starting 10 p.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. Eastern time. We'll be doing special coverage. Tom Merritt, Dr. Kiki, our resident scientist, and the bad astronomer, Phil Platt, will be on the air with Tom. So it should be really good. Really, really good. Minerals are fun. Yes, Chris. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Very exciting night. Boy, are you excited about Curiosity? You know about this? Somehow we seem to have lost our interest in space exploration. This is perhaps one of the most significant events in space exploration in some time. The Mars rover Curiosity will land tonight at 1 a.m., actually, I guess tomorrow morning, 1 a.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Pacific, following 7 minutes of terror. Actually, I guess it's 1:31 a.m. Eastern time. 7 minutes of terror. They've never done this before. They've got a rocket-powered sky crane, which will lower this rover, Curiosity, to the Martian surface via nylon wires. Wow. And, of course, it'll be the scientists, because it's such a long way to Mars, I think, what is it, 14 minutes, 15 minutes? Scientists will not know if it's successful. They'll be waiting for a computer beep from Curiosity that it's landed okay. What are they looking for? Among other things, life. Signs of life on Mars. 8 months, 350 million miles. It's like flying through the eye of a needle on the other side of the moon. I mean, it's just tough. It's really amazing. It's the great folks at JPL in Pasadena who are going to be there doing this. Just cool. Just so cool. They're confident. They spent a lot of money on this. There is a Twitter feed, of course. If you want to follow Curiosity on Twitter, what a world. Curiosity's handle is Curiosity. At Mars Curiosity. At Mars Curiosity. And the most recent tweet, which was last night, right now, I guess, you know, it's busy now. It's not tweeting. I wonder if it tweets like what it had for lunch, like the rest of it. Right now, I'm closer to Mars than the moon is to Earth, 28 hours to landing. I got to follow Curiosity rover. What an interesting. And what's fun about following it is all the people who are saying hello to it and what they're saying, like Jay Carmona, who says, hey, when you land, would you tell Ray Bradbury I said hello? Hey, maybe Ray's there. Maybe Ray's there. Mars Curiosity. Isn't that cool? Curiosity rover. What's weird, what's sad in some ways, is there's only 189,000 followers. Ashton Kutcher's got, what, 7 million? Lady Gaga's, you know, millions. And this is the most amazing thing in the world. Yeah, 189,000 people are interested. I don't know why, but the rover is actually following 152 people on Twitter. Maybe it gets boring out there in space. I don't know. 8888-ASK, Leah. Let's go to the phones. Sam in Vista, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, Sam.
Good morning, Leo. Boy, I'm glad to talk to you. I've been following you for a number of years.
Thank you, sir.
And, Leo, I've started taking home movies in 1963. And I've used 8mm, Super 8. I've used cassettes. I've used VHSC, videotape, and so on. So I've got quite a library.
It's all in a cardboard box at the bottom of the closet.
Well, you know, I have it pretty well organized.
Good man.
On that, I've been doing that for a number of years.
But you got to get them off of that magnetic tape because it's decaying as we speak.
I agree with you. Anyway, I took all my original 8mm and Super 8 and had it transferred over to my Russian digital external hard drive.
Oh, good man. Good man. How did that work?
So I've been importing through my VHS, through a Pinnacle home box, into my iMac, into my iMovie. I've been importing those and making some DVDs.
Good.
Now, here's my problem. I've taken a lot of weddings in the past. I've taken a lot of all my children. I've got 8 grandchildren now, great-grandchildren, and so on. When I cut a DVD I've got into iMovie, and then I make a project, and my source video, I make my project, I transfer it over to iDVD, cut my two-hour DVD, and the resolution is not real, real clear.
It doesn't look as good on the DVD as it does on your computer.
What's that again?
So what are you doing to when you're copying it from the Western Digital hard drive to the computer? Are you doing something called transcoding it? You're not modifying it, are you?
Well, I could do that, but that's not where my major problem is. I don't have a problem with the Western Digital. My problem, I'm using a Canon HG10 that I bought a few years ago, one of the best cameras I've ever had. I took your recommendation, and it just does wonderful work for what I need it to do. I believe that's a 1920. My son helps me with some of this. He's real sharp on this stuff. But the resolution on that is 1920 by, oh, geez, what is that?
1080.
I don't have it off the top of my head. 1080 resolution.
Yeah.
But the DVD itself is only a 720 by 480 resolution.
It's not even that. It's 480p. That's right. DVDs are... are enhanced definition. They're not high definition.
Well,
so that is that what you're seeing? Is you're seeing that's what you're talking about when you say it's not as good? You're saying it's enhanced definition. It's not horrible. It looks like a DVD, right?
Yeah, it looks like a DVD, but it's not.
There's a couple of problems you can have. One is interlacing, and you want to make sure you don't have any interlacing. So de-interlace. What interlacing looks like, kind of like window blinds. And it comes from the fact that older televisions, doesn't happen anymore on the modern TVs, but the older televisions were so slow, they couldn't handle all 400 lines of resolution at once. So the signal was 200 lines or one field, and then it would do all the odd ones and then do all the even ones. It was alternating. So, but what happens when you get, when you move that to progressive, it gets, it's called interlacing. You looks like window blind. So what you have to do is de-interlace. So that could be, if you see window blind kind of look, make sure you're de-interlacing. And there are tools to do that. But there is no way to make a DVD you can play on a DVD player that is anything but 480p. That's what a DVD is. That's why we went to high def Blu-ray DVDs. Those are 1080p. So, Sam, if you've got high-def content, good, you know, that's great. Whoever scanned this took that 8mm and did a good job, made it high-def content, and which is true. You know, the 8mm film is high-def. It's very high quality. It's not 16 by 9, probably, but it's good quality. What you could do, I guess, is author Blu-ray, but you're not going to get on DVD the quality you want.
Okay, well...
So that's the sacrifice you make to play it back on a DVD player.
What's that again, please?
That's the sacrifice you make to play it back on a DVD player.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Well, I thought I might have been doing something wrong. Is there some other technology that's available to make it a little sharper when I have the...
No, you can't make it any sharper than 480p. The issue really is that's what DVD does. Continue to watch on your hard drive. DVDs are dead anyway. I would just make sure you got a backup, though, right? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. He was even listening to what I was saying. What? It's 1080. What? This is cool. So, they're going to lower it like a puppet. They're going to lower it. I don't hear him. Why am I not hearing him? They're going to lower it like a puppet. Eh. 500,000 lines of code. That's actually not very much. I'll be honest with you. There are websites with more lines of code than that. Do you think you know what it is? I don't really care. Yeah, let's see. I'll pause it. I shall pause it. I shall look... Could be my audio is not doing what it's supposed to be. What? The speaker? Where? Yeah, but it doesn't have anything but that. You hold option? Really? What happens then? Oh, I didn't know you could do that. That's cool. We want it to be what? That's not sick. It's nice seeing the iMic again. It's not. It doesn't see it. It sees AirPlay. I wish the TriCaster supported the current AirPlay. No, it doesn't see it either. do. I mean, I don't really care. I could look at the pictures. Yes, I did. It worked Friday morning, thank goodness. Should I just reboot? Oh, the hub. The hubba hubba hubba. Let me reboot. Let me reboot. Oh, I don't need that computer. What do I need a computer for? I don't need a computer. Dee-dee. Why ain't I want to know what he don't? And then I took the DVD and I played it back in the computer. What? Hey, where was the guy? Do we have the guy that I was the last caller from yesterday that I didn't have time to talk to? Was that him? It's 1920 by something. No, DVDs are dead. Blu-ray's practically dead. Physical media is going away. I really do. Of course, what do you do if you have... I think you should just keep it on the hard drive. That's going to be the best quality anyway. Just make a backup. Right? Well, yeah, understand that when I say something's dead, I don't mean like tomorrow. I just mean the future is not bright. Most computers now don't even have optical drives anymore, do they? This Google, this second factor authentication is a little bit of a tiny bit of a pain in the butt. Tiny, tiny, tiny bit. Oh, ba doo doo doo. I bought a bracelet for my daughter, that's all I bought. It was a nice gem show. It was a fun gem show. Sad to see that Gordon Biersch is gone. All right, I said verify. There we go.
Hey, Leo, Will's filling in for Gina today, and we just got Matt on the hotline.
I'll pick him up.
Sorry about that.
No problem. Well, it's got to be a John Williams composition. It has a little Star Wars-y feel to it, that little dee 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 dee. Uh-huh. Is it Back to the Future? I'm guessing Back to the Future.
No. You got it.
Is it? I feel like we've gone back to the future with these. Back to the future with these questions. Hey, wait, you know, we are going to go back to the future because last show, Matt called in right at the very end, the very bitter end of the dregs of the last few seconds of the show. And I picked up the line. I said, Matt, what's your question? And the music came up and I said, bye, Matt. We'll talk to you tomorrow. So technically, Matt's been on hold for 21 hours. Matt, you're very patient. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate your letting us call you back. What can I do for you?
Well, I've been interested in the whole cord cutting thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got my Netflix subscription. I got an Apple TV for Father's Day.
Hey, that's a nice present.
Yeah, yeah. And I was looking. I hear a lot about this. Home theater PC.
Right.
Is something like that, you know, is that something you need to kind of help cope with, you know, not having the content? I mean...
I don't think so. So what's changed? There's significant changes are going on right now. I said something that would be perhaps considered a little controversial in the last caller. I said DVDs are dead. I think physical media in general is kind of being replaced by streaming media. The movie companies want it that way. On demand and right. So forth. What a cord cutter is, we should explain, is somebody who doesn't pay for television, doesn't pay cable, doesn't pay satellite. There's some debate in the world whether a cord cutter could use an antenna and receive HD signals from local broadcasts. I say yes, you're still a cord cutter because you don't get a bill for that, right?
The
idea is you use your internet for almost anything, not everything. Now, you have to pay for internet, of course, but we pay for the content in other ways.
Right. What can I use to record that over-the-air content, you know, kind of like...
Ah, so that's where you... And this is why cord cutting... this is where cord cutting runs into the real world, where the rubber hits the road, is the live stuff. Like, if you know, the Academy Awards, the Super Bowl, stuff that's not on the internet. Now, that's all changing. For the first time ever, the Super Bowl this year was on the internet. You could watch it. The Olympics, you can see almost all of the Olympics on the internet now. So, but we're still in this transitional phase, because NBC did something that I think is just kind of archaic and reprehensible. You could watch the Olympics on the internet, but only if you had a cable subscription or a satellite subscription. You had to log in and you had to verify that you were paying for cable, even though you're watching on the internet. And you're seeing that a lot. HBO Go is a great service where you can get HBO on a variety of devices and the web. But you have to prove that you're paying for HBO through a cable or satellite company. And part of that is because HBO doesn't want to lose the cable or satellite companies. It's very difficult to make this transition into the digital era. We've seen it over and over again. Look at Kodak's a really good example. Kodak had built a business around a couple of things, selling film and processing film. They saw the digital era coming. They knew. They could see that train coming down the tunnel at them. They saw the headlights miles away. So they bought digital, you know, online photo sharing sites. They created digital cameras. They did everything right. They really entered. They went full bore into the digital age, except turned out the profit margins on digital photography weren't the same. They weren't enough. They weren't sufficient. The company went bankrupt. So that's the difficulty. So the cable companies are holding on for dear life, because what they don't want to do is be an internet company. They want to sell you HBO, and they want to be a premium content delivery service. And the content companies would love to get rid of the cable companies. HBO, from its point of view, would far prefer to have you subscribe directly, because they don't want to give a chunk of that subscription fee to the cable companies. And they don't need to, because they can deliver over the internet. So there's a battle going on, and we're really in this messy state where HBO would like to sell it to you directly, but they don't dare because they don't want to make the cable companies mad. NBC's owned by a cable company, so you can be sure NBC isn't going to provide anything online unless you have a cable subscription. You say you want to TiVo or somehow record a live broadcast. Is that what you're looking to do?
Yeah. How can I replace my current DVR with something?
Well, and again, this wouldn't be necessary if on-demand were mature.
Right.
What on-demand is, we recorded for you. And
right.
It's in a great many shows now you can watch on Hulu Plus or HBO Go without recording. You know, I have that old habit. I was TiVoing all these HBO shows, and I realized, wait a minute, I don't have to. But you still need a cable subscription, see? So you can't be a cord cutter and watch HBO. But what HBO is going to quickly realize, A, is people can pirate it. It's easy enough to watch anything by just stealing it. Most people are honest, don't want to do that. But, you know, HBO might well force people into that by just not offering it in any other way. They're not forcing them, but they're certainly nudging them in that direction. You can build if you're talking about, do you have a Mac or a Windows machine?
We just have a Windows machine right now, but we have...
Every Windows machine can be a home theater PC. You know that.
Right. Yeah, I've kind of heard that.
What you need is a tuner card that lets you connect to your antenna so that it turns it into a TV. That's what makes a TV is a tuner. The only difference between your television and your computer monitor is the television has a television tuner. So you get a tuner card, you put it in your computer, and laptop's a different issue. Then you have to have a USB external tuner. Hopog makes those for Windows machines. And then that, you plug into the cable, or you plug into the satellite, or in your case, you plug into the over-the-air antenna. And it has software, and you run it. If you're using Windows, Media Center will do it. And Microsoft's still offering Media Center, even Windows 8 now. You can download Media Center. And that
so you can just plug in your antenna through one of those cards.
Yeah.
Your player will just do the rest?
Yeah, it records. Now, you got to match it all up. So you should go and first of all make sure your computer is capable of it. It has to be fast enough. Second, you should make sure that Windows Media Center will work with the card you want to buy. They say what cards are compatible. Who made your computer?
It's an HP laptop.
So that's a laptop. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's the truth is, if you go to HPOG, you'll probably get software anyway. You might not have to use Microsoft's Media Center because they understand that there's, you know, some HPOG internal cards are work with Media Center, some don't. But
there are a lot of people use like the Apple Mini for something like that.
Yeah, that's very common. They'll use an Elgato iTV. That's a device that does the same thing. In fact, it's actually literally the same hardware, just branded by a different company as the HPOG stuff. And by the way, I'm saying HPOG, and this company, I don't know how they're still in business. They have the most unpronounceable, unspellable name in history. It's a town in Long Island. And what you should probably do is just try to guess it on Google, and Google will fix it for you. That's how I remember how to spell it. It's HAUPPAUGE.com. Why would you start a company with a name that no one can spell or pronounce is beyond me. Or at least if you're going to do it, name it HOPHOG, Hop Hog. Anybody will know how to do that. Anyway, that they make TV adapters, the Win TV they call it, and they come with software.
Okay.
They come with software.
All right, well, thanks, Leo. I appreciate all the help, and thanks for calling me back.
Oh, you're welcome. I encourage you to do this. This is the future. And in time, we won't have to record anything because we'll all of these weird kind of interlocking rules will go away, and HBO will be able to say to you, hey, give us $10 a month, and we'll make all this available for you on our application, and you'll be done. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. HAUPAUGE. And yet, they've been around for years, maybe 20 years. Just don't get it. I think people just buy
it. Folks, have you heard about ESET's?
They go to the store and they buy it. So that's what you're going to want is the Win TV stick, USB stick. Is now available on the Mac platform using the same sophisticated forcing people into piracy is not quite how you should say it. Nudging them to that direction. Oh, that's nice. Thank you. How are you? And your name is? Hi, John. Where are you from? Oh, awesome. So you came up together? You drove your convertible Camaro up. What'd you drive up in? Oh, man. Oh, he dragged you. Good man. Good man. He said, I got an idea for a day trip. Let's drive 5 hours and see Leo and see the studio. And 8 hours? John's made that trip a few times. Yesterday. And where are you staying? Oh, great. This is great. It is so great. I'm so flattered. I'm very honored. Well, gosh, that's great. Well, you're going to stay for TWIT then, of course. Yeah. And stay for the Mars landing. Wow. Please do. And then we'll Chad does a nice tour. So you get to see the basement and all the doohickeys. All the vastly expensive doohickeys.
Actually taking the tour with
I've listened in a little bit just to make sure he's not making stuff up.
Oh, I always make stuff up.
This is where the hot tub was until they took it out. Yeah, it takes you throughout the whole thing. Yeah. Well, thank you. I feel bad that you got stuck out in the living room. All right, we put it up on the big screen out there so you can.
Standard salad.
Yes, you know what they did yesterday? I don't know who made it yesterday, but they just dumped balsamic vinegar on it. I've changed my mind now. I like the mixed dressing, balsamic dressing. Thank you. But in every other respect, it was a fabulous salad. A little rich for my taste. It had too much good stuff in it. Lots of lettuce is the thing. I did mention that HPOG is in town in Long Island, I believe. Greetings from Norway, Sandra AJ. Where in Norway are you? Matt's not going to be a panelist. He's just going to phone in. We're going to talk to him for a few minutes. Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting that in England, of course, the BBC is a government entity and is paid for by television license fees. But in England, they have all the Olympic content on the internet ad-free.
So you can watch everything on the internet, which is wonderful. And so what a lot of Americans are doing is, and it's not so hard to figure out, they're using proxy servers or other techniques to pose as British viewers, and then they can watch it all. And so if you ask me, but the thing is, I guess NBC figures, well, that's a small number of people. The BBC has nothing to do. Clive, you just hate me today, don't you? The BBC has nothing to do with the government. Okay. Whatever you say. Nothing to do with the government. Nothing. I apologize. I thought it was government broadcasting. My mistake. Oh, it operates under Royal Charter, and it has a license and agreement from the Home Secretary. Its work is funded by the license fee, which is set annually by the British government and agreed upon by Parliament. But it is not a government broadcaster.
All right, Leo, Carbonite, it's your library.
Leo Laporte, we're going to Mars. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. Toll free. For anywhere in the U.S., outside the U.S., you certainly can call. We'd love it if you dialed us up. But just use Skype out. And then we'll then you can. That's still toll free. Still won't cost you anything. 8888-ASK-LEO, plus 1-888-827-5536. It's very interesting to watch this transition. You know, eventually you won't need to record. And that will be a glorious day where you get everything is on demand. I'm not sure how glorious it'll be when we have to pay 5, 6, 10 different entities for content, however. That may be kind of annoying. I guess we're getting used to that, though. You just put it on the charge card. It's automatically charged, and you'll at least have a little bit more control. You'll have kind of more a la carte subscription capability. And it will certainly be a lot simpler. I look forward to that day. Then you don't have to worry about any of this TV tuner card. You don't have to worry about antennas. You just have to have a good, solid internet connection and then a way to connect that to your television and a device like the Roku, or if you're using a computer, Plex is really good. We did a special on how to put Plex on a computer. It is a home theater PC minus the recording capability, that DVR capability. But if you don't need that, Plex is wonderful. If you want to watch our video on how to do that, that's on twit.tv/KH. That's our know-how show. Know-how. Brian, Riverside, California, your next Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Leo.
Welcome to the show. What can I do for you?
Well, here's my situation. My son is going to Europe in a couple of weeks, and we want to be able to communicate with him when he's in Paris. And the phone that he actually has, I called the provider that we're using, and they were telling me that his phone won't work in Europe.
He's got a Verizon or a Sprint phone?
Yeah, it's a Verizon phone.
So Verizon does make world phones. So you could go to Verizon and say, okay, well, I'd like the world version. Here's the deal. Here's what I would recommend. My daughter spent a year in France when she was in high school. And so the first thing I did is I paid $99. It's probably more now, but I paid $99 for unlimited Skype calling. So I presume he's bringing a laptop.
Well, he's staying with a friend that is in London, and we know we can Skype with that when he's using his computer, but when he actually goes to Paris, he's not going to have a laptop with him. So
will he have a smartphone?
No, the phone he has is not a smartphone.
Okay, would you like to be able to Skype with him while he's in Paris?
I think my wife wants to hear mainly from him, you know, via...
The other thing to do is what I did for my daughter. Now, she was gone for a year, so I did not want to pay the international data fees for a year. They're very expensive. Even if you go to Verizon and say, you know, give me an international data plan, it's much more than you'd ever want to pay for a year. It's hundreds of dollars a month. So what I did is I gave her a burner phone, basically, an unlocked GSM phone. Write that down. Unlocked GSM phone. Lots of them. They're cheap. There are lots of companies make them. When he gets to France, he goes to a phone company, phone store, and he says, donnez-moi une SIM. Give me a SIM card. And you can generally buy SIM cards with both phone and data. It'll give him an international number. He'll have a French number. But he can call you from that number, and then you can write it down, and now you'll know how to reach him. And it's much cheaper for him.
Okay.
So that's another way to go. He also gives him a French number so that his friends in France can reach him.
Okay.
And it gives you usually you get text and data as well. He could buy the phone in France. It wouldn't be very expensive. You know, because these are just burner phones. You know, $30, $40 burner phones. They're not fancy.
Okay. And then how does that when it's unlocked then?
Unlocked. So if you buy it here, if you buy it from Verizon, even if it's a world phone, it's locked to Verizon. So they can't use a French SIM card because it'll say, I'm sorry, this isn't they're not Verizon. So when you buy it unlocked, it means it's not attached to any particular carrier.
Okay.
Verizon. Okay. Now, the other way to go is Verizon sells world phones. You can get a world phone from Verizon that will work in France. I'm surprised they didn't tell you that.
Well, they said they had some kind of world travel plan where you rent a phone, but we were trying to find out if there was like another alternative.
Well,
to go.
If for instance you got him a Verizon iPhone, that's a world phone, and he could then enable it for use in France. But most Verizon phones are not GSM. GSM is the technology they use in most of the world. It's their CDMA. So Sprint and Verizon in the U.S. are CDMA. Their phones tend not to work globally. AT&T and T-Mobile are GSM. They work everywhere in most cases.
Okay, well, great. That answers my question.
Good.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Brian. Yeah, one of my colleagues here, Sarah Lane, went to Great Britain about a month ago and got an amazing deal. She brought an unlocked iPhone with her and was able to go to a company in Britain called Three, and I think it was £15 a month for unlimited data. Phone calls were very inexpensive. And she, you know, of course, you have a British number, but she was able to use that while she was in Great Britain. No problem. Just plug that right into the phone. So some countries, she was not able to get that to work in France. Some countries make it easier than others. So that might be a good reason to wait till you get to France and just buy the cheapest, you know, go to a drugstore and buy the cheapest phone you can. It's a little more, I have to say, it's a little better there in terms of competition. There are lots of different companies, and so they tend to compete well. We'll be back with more of the Tech Guy in just a bit. You know, if you come here and visit, I could show you if you're watching video. If you come here and visit, ask me about our phone system here. Well, you know, we designed this studio a year and a half ago, moved in almost exactly a year ago. And one of the things I hadn't even thought about, because I didn't have to when we were a little tiny company, is what about a phone system? What do you do nowadays? Do you call the phone company? I've got 25 employees. How do I put a phone on each desk? How do I have PBX capabilities, a switchboard? How do I do all that? Well, fortunately, just as digital technology has changed everything, it has completely changed how phone systems work. And my IT guy, Russell, of course, was the go-to guy on this. He told me about Ring Central. We didn't want a PBX in the basement. You know, those expensive, complex. You got to program them. So Russell said, go cloud, go with Ring Central. Zero startup cost. I have to say, I really liked that. It was no cost at all to us. We put phones on everybody's desk. That's it. That's the only hardware install. $20 per user per month. And that includes like long distance to the U.S. and Canada. It includes things like it works on my smartphone. There's Ring Central apps for all the platforms. And, you know, for instance, I'll give you an example. When Chad... My producer, Chad, wants to make a phone call. He's at home. He wants to use his cell phone. He uses the Ring Central app. We pay for the call. The number appears to be his office number. He can check his voicemails on the app. He can check his voicemails can come to his email. Even faxes can come to his email.
It is, because it's cloud-based, it's very flexible, very powerful. It customizes everything with your call handling. We've got, if you call our 800 number, you can hear the RingCentral customized messages, the inboxes, the whole thing. And, you know, I can have RingCentral ring my phone, my cell phone when I'm out. Instead of ringing the office number, I can just there's no limit to what you can do. Our producers love it. They get their voicemail in the email. We get our fax messages on our smartphone. I can go on and on. You got to try it. Unfortunately, they've got a good 30-day free trial. All-inclusive pricing, as low as $20 a month per user. And because you're watching this or listening to this, they have a special deal for you. When you buy one desk phone, you get a second phone free, up to 20 phones. Wish they'd had that deal when we started. That would have saved me some money. This is good. Take advantage of this. For my listeners, we got a special number, 800-543-9980. That's 800-543-9980. Or you can visit ringcentral.com. The promo code is TWIT. Okay? It says here TWIT. I should try this. TWIT.ringcentral.com. Does that work? Or just call the number. That's probably the easiest way. If you're a small business person and you want to really get a big business sound and flexibility, yeah, go. It's not twit.ringcentral.com. It's just ringcentral.com. Or call 800-543-9980. Ringcentral.com. You'll probably love it as much as we do. We've had it for a year. It's just awesome. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Derek in the Twin Cities. Leo Laporte. How you doing, Derek?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thanks
for calling.
I've
been a fan of yours time, Leo, and it's just a tremendous honor to speak to you.
Well, golly, I'm honored to speak to you.
So I've considered starting a podcast, just certainly nothing to your scale where I have a huge audience or anything.
I never liked the word podcast because it sounded kind of like demeaning, like, oh, you have a little podcast or a blog. I'm not a podcast. I mean, this is an internet television station where we do radio and TV shows. We make audio and video available on demand. It's very much different. Doing a podcast, you should never look at what I'm doing and say, that's what I want to do. Because that's crazy. That's crazy talk. But hang on, because I want to talk to you about when you should do a podcast, why you should do it, and what your expectations should be. I'll also help you get the gear that you need when we come back. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah. Well, I just don't want people to look at this and say, oh, I'd like to do what you're doing. Because that would be nuts. I don't recommend that to anybody. Yes, sir.
Can I get you to look at the promo?
If you're in the...
yes, it's done, eh? Yes. Did you do it?
Professional software support guy or gal. You know about remote access. Well, that's great. You know, I mean, the ability to fix a computer from afar. But you also probably know, and
yeah, I can see it. I just is it. Just send me an email. Is there an email to me?
One tool.
Is it on YouTube yet?
Fix problems remotely, but lets you see.
Okay, so the process usually is they put it up in private on YouTube and then send me a link.
Assist from Citrix.
But if you have it somewhere that I can look at it.
Assist, even if you've tried it before,
where?
You've got to try it again. They've added monitoring.
No, don't email me anything that large.
Exactly what hardware and software on your client networks. And
well,
let you know when something is about to go wrong.
It won't give us much time for fixing. It'll take you a while to upload it.
Powerful tools, one easy platform from
Hey, John,
Citrix,
ask John how to do this.
You've got to try this.
He said he'd do it. Yeah, so we just need to get a phone number from him. Look for Nicole Lee's email.
Just get a phone number for him, and we'll... Oh, no, not a phone number. I guess we'll have to Skype, because we don't have phone capability, but somehow we'll have to Skype him. Skype him in. Option. I didn't know we could do that. That's so cool. Yeah, iMic is on now. I just needed a reboot for some reason. Well, why? Why? I ask why. It is there, and it... Oh. Now I can't. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Board frozen. You want to reboot it? Is that a good idea?
You're tuned to Premiere.
Our audio will return in just a moment. But first, we're going to unplug.
6 minutes past the hour from Premiere Radio Networks.
Yeah, now you got to do a hard reset.
Hooray. So, guys, how's it going? I'd really like the chat room to help me out on the question. He doesn't know I'm doing this. He can't hear me. And so, today I was walking to the studio and I saw this lady and she was...
Ah, now you can hear me. So, we have a massive twit. Just talk to Chad. Justin Robert Young will talk about the amazing Patricia Harkins Bradley novel that is rising to the top of the charts, Diamond Club.
Radio Networks.
We will also talk about Yahoo with Kara Swisher. We will also have Patrick Norton. We will also have another person, Ed Bott. We will also have Matt Honan.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
We will not have John C. Dvorak or Becky Worley.
From Premier Radio Network.
Next week will be Kevin Rose. What? Next week is Kevin Rose and Brian Schwabach. Schwabach Buffush. Bushwood. Frederick Bushwood.
Premier Channel 7.
And John C.
We'll begin at
Dvorak.
6 minutes past the hour.
He's always
from
available.
Premier Radio Network.
He's got nothing to do. And very exciting, we're going to have Diamond Club promotion all week long. We got to hurry because Diamond Club's dropping. It's plummeting. Number 5 on the overall list now. Oh, no!
Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Oh, no!
From Premier Radio Network.
I've worked with John for 20 years. I am not going to call him John Dvorak. It's John C. Dvorak. He's not on today, PDO.
This is Premier
Trip 70. Did I not just say who was on Twitter today?
We'll begin at 6.
Was somebody filling Trip 70 in PDO?
Premier Radio Network.
What, are you going to the bathroom? What's going on? Thank you, Bill. Just copy that and paste it in over and over again. Matt has one T. The National Geographic World Phone. That's interesting.
This
didn't know there was
Channel
such a
7.
Thing.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, will begin at 6 minutes past the hour.
I do not know if Splash ID is safe. Oh, the National Geographic. Oh, it's from Samsung. Huh. It's only $87. Is that subsidized? Talk Abroad Sim.
You're tuned to Premier Channel 7. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, will begin at 6 minutes past the hour from Premier Radio Networks.
Is that unlocked? Must be. Wow, it's unlocked. Takes incoming calls on both a UK and a US number. Wow.
You are tuned to Premier Channel 7. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, will begin at 6 minutes past the hour from Premier Radio Network.
That looks pretty good. You must be new around here, the Seeker. Donnie, you're out of your element. That's a good quote. Donnie, you're out of your element, Donnie. Totally fine. Well, hey, welcome. Welcome, Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk about anything with a chip in it. Computers, the internet, cell phones, camcorders, MP3 players, podcasting. That's what Derek asked. And Derek, I realized that sounded very egotistical when I said, I am not a podcaster. And I didn't mean it to sound that way. I just meant that this would not be anything that anybody who was sane would want to emulate. I mean,
right.
I spent an insane amount of money with absolutely no guarantee that I'll ever get it back to build a studio, to do 30 shows. I mean, it's just crazy. The nice thing about podcasting is it's cheap, it's easy, it's simple. And really, the only thing you need is a passion for your topic. What do you want a podcast about?
I'm planning on doing a podcast about Minnesota sports, professional sports.
Perfect. You know why that's perfect? A, I could tell you care about it.
Yeah.
But B, it's a narrow niche. The narrower, the better, in my opinion. Don't you find that when you talk about something very specific, the people who are crazy about that subject come out of the woodwork, and it's great. And you all can agree. You know, I just went yesterday to the San Francisco Mineralogical and Gem Show. These are people who are crazy about rocks. And they are crazy about rocks. I mean, they are passionate about rocks. So in some ways, if you had said to me, I want to do a general show about sports, or even I want to do a general show about basketball, I'd say good luck. But when you say, I want to do a show about Minnesota sports, I'm saying, yeah. Because it's more specific, right?
Breaking it down into each individual sport, like Vikings, Twins.
Well, then let's not go too far. I don't know. You're going to take audience research. It should be, first of all, something you care a lot about. Because if you care a lot about it, a couple of things happen. First of all, your passion gets communicated. So a lot of times people who do podcasts don't have a lot of broadcasting skill. That doesn't matter if what you have is a deep knowledge and a passion for a subject. That covers a lot of ills. You will have to have sufficient quality so people don't go, God, I can't listen. That's so noisy or whatever. You know, you have to make it sound good enough so people can listen. But it's okay if you say a lot or you stumble or whatever, because what you're communicating is your deep passion and your deep knowledge. So it has to be narrow enough that you can do that. It also helps to be narrow because then you know the audience better. This is something broadcasting does not do. Broadcasting is, and its very name kind of tells you, broad. It's trying to get as many people as possible. So it's impossible to understand and know and target your audience very well because it's so broad. What we do is narrow casting. We're trying to find a narrow niche and fill that niche because we can understand the audience and we speak to them. Now, it's funny because broadcasters, there's constant pressure to expand the audience. And so this is another reason I think it's really important to understand that what you're doing is not broadcasting. It's narrow casting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I think that's great. I mean, you know, it almost would be best to pick a club, a single club, and say, I'm going to be the podcast for the Minnesota Twins or whatever.
Okay.
Probably already exists, though.
Oh, yeah, it definitely exists. I feel like the market here is not quality enough.
Good.
For what we demand, I guess.
Yeah, it's good to do some competitive research and see what's out there. You don't want to. I made that mistake. We did a gaming show, which was great. I thought it was great. We spent a lot of money on it. We got great talent.
Great. I watched it.
Loved that show. What I didn't take into account is the fact that there are thousands of other shows covering the same subject. And people have already decided which ones they want to watch. I mean, it was very difficult to break into that, even though what we did was super good. But the market was just sliced up into many, many, many pieces.
So one very interesting question I have, and I, you know, it may be tough for you to answer because you had a built-in audience already.
Yeah. That's another reason why, and again, I'm not being egotistical. I'm saying don't do what I do because it's next to impossible. I came off of 6 years on a cable television channel where we built this fanatical audience for tech. That sure helped. Helped a lot.
I was one of them.
Yeah. I don't meet many audience members who don't say, oh, I remember the tech TV days. I mean, we're trying like heck. I mean, I'd love to. In fact, it's really great when people say, oh, you used to be on TV. I love that. Because then that means, well, this is a new person coming in. So, and very few people have that going for them, you know? So you so really what the bottom line is, you have to be willing to have a tiny audience at first to not you never will you the chance of you making money as a podcaster are very slim. You probably won't even cover your costs.
The realistic goal to shoot for money.
Do it for fun. Do it because you care, because you care more about that than anything.
Absolutely.
That all makes sense, right? I mean, I don't want any. I'm really not being egotistical. I just don't want people to have false expectations. You know, they read, in the press. Oh, Leo's company is taking in. I think we took in $4.2 million last year, and they go, "I'd like to do that." Well, it was a very unusual combination of factors that made that possible, and I don't think it's easily duplicated. I wish it were, because I hate to be the only guy doing this. I wish there was a knitting channel that was as successful and doing great, and had a big audience. I'd love to see that, doing live streaming and downloads and all that stuff. I'd love to see that. Maybe you could do that. Maybe Minnesota. See, I think you're on the right track, because I think, as I remember, Minnesota sports fans are kind of fanatical.
We are. I would say so. And so I would like to know what your suggestions are for the best tools for recording. On probably a budget between $300 and $800.
Oh, it's easy. You got a laptop already, right?
Absolutely. I've got pretty much every size of a device you can have.
It gets complicated if you want a lot of people on the show. Do you want to do a roundtable show, or do you want to just have it be you?
Well, I think it has to be at least two people. Otherwise, it just sounds like I'm a windbag.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's always easier to do a show with other people. Well, Skype, you can use Skype and have two people. And all you need is each person needs a decent headset, Plantronics Dot Audio headset, the 655. It's $30. Plugs into your USB port. The guy you're talking to plugs into his USB port. You make a Skype call. You record it. There are a variety of ways to do that. Just Google recording Skype. You'll find a half a dozen. It's not as easy as it sounds, unfortunately. Skype shouldn't build this in. I don't know why Microsoft doesn't build this in, but record it, and then you put out an audio podcast. Now, here's the one other piece. So right now your costs are $30 each for the headsets. Then you need somewhere to store it, and then I recommend Libsyn, Libsyn.com. They only charge you for the amount of data you're storing, not for the number of listeners. So if you're a vast, huge success, a lot of people use Libsyn now. That's a really inexpensive way to go, $10 a month, $15 a month. So if you're just doing audio and it's just a couple of people, it's easy. Now, if you want more than that, or you're all in the same room, now you got to get a mixer and you got to get microphones for everybody. Behringer, this is a good company to know, Behringer, makes a podcast kit. They actually make a couple of different podcast kits that include mixers and mics. But that's when it starts getting expensive. Does that all make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good luck. What's it going to be called? You got a good name?
You know what? I'm just starting, so I don't know. Could be anything.
I know. That's the fun part. You know,
maybe this week in Minnesota sports. No, I'm just.
That's fine. That's good. Twims. I like it. It's got a ring to it. Now, I don't own this week in, you know. I mean, I think they're probably Mel Allen in Major League Baseball on it because of this week in Major League Baseball, right?
Possible.
I don't know if you can own this week in. Well, yeah, you know, it's good. That's good. Do your own thing. You shouldn't. Yeah, that's what I mean. Don't copy me. Not because, just don't copy me because it would be a mistake.
You are definitely the most broad of all the narrow casters.
Yeah. I consider what we do handmade media, artisanal media. You know, there's a whole market now. For like, it's not a huge market, but for like artisanal cheeses or handcrafted beers. They're more expensive. They're made for a narrow audience. But the audience exists, and I think that's what we do in media. Hey, good luck, Derek. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Chris, I'm ready for you in 15. This week in baseball.
If you're assistant man,
I am like artisanal cheese that's gone on a little too long. Right?
Systems running reliably on sometimes ancient hardware.
The mating habits of the platypus. You never know if that's an interesting subject. Well, if that sounds familiar, I'm sure that'd be good. Yeah, you got to. Yeah, it's kind of a long tail thing. That's awesome, that Kyle guy. That's great.
cloud hosting provider.
See, that you have an advantage. You have an advantage in Nova Scotia because you have a geographically constrained area. You probably don't have a lot of trees. I did not buy any big rocks yesterday, nor did Lisa. We did not. We were frugal. Want to run your company's website, email, or billing systems. Yeah, not only is Radio Shack still around, we're trying to get them as advertisers. One of the few companies that would really make sense for the radio show. Yoshi's still around. He does. He works as a special effects supervisor for the movies. And you probably can find him on Facebook. I follow him on Facebook. The Roku has a lot of stuff. In fact, there's a... I don't think it's an official site with Roku channels. Let me find it for you. It will show you. It's really an interesting. I think it's Roku-channels.com, the Roku channel database. I don't think this is official. But this thing will show you all the stuff you can do on a Roku. And there's some stuff on Roku. There's 1,080 pages of stuff here. There's some stuff you can do on Roku that you... isn't public, like you have to have a special code and stuff like that. So I'm sorry, there are 1,080 rows, so there's 1,080 channels on Roku. Right now, go to eset.com/Leo. Call 866-9. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'll just tell the story and we'll go right into it.
And don't forget to like ESET USA on Facebook and add ESET USA to your circles on Google Plus.
That probably is.
They looked in on contests, special offers, and exclusive passes. If you use Windows,
I should have suggested that out of the box.
Nod 32 from ESET.
SneakerNet. That's how we used to do this for years before we had a SAM. I would record the show locally, you know, in the studio, and then run it over to the editor. Yeah. So here's the promo for the week. I have to approve this. My name is Leo Laporte, and I approve this mess. Previously on Twit.
Do you like computer hardware?
Yes.
Do you want a faster gaming PC?
I do.
You want to spend all your money on a gaming PC?
No.
Do you want to waste your money when you're buying your next upgrade for hardware?
No.
Then you should be watching Twix this week in computer hardware. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ryan Shrout.
Gizwiz.
The fans lined up outside.
Oh, yeah.
Waiting to see. They're so excited.
Well. Oh, where's the fan? I gave him $10 to walk back and forth.
Here's the fan.
Oh, boy. Oh, Alfred E. Newman.
he's looking for his watch. He doesn't.
NSFW. Hey, say go. Tech news today.
We've got something we like to call the calendoomer. That's when a calendar and a rumor love each other very, very
new segments.
The Apple iPhone 5 and the iPad mini event are planned for September 12th.
If you missed this week on Twit, you missed a mile. Good. Yeah, the lip sync's off, but that's just something going on here. It's the compressor, yeah. That looks good. It could be a little tighter. But I like it. Well, I like it.
All right, you're listening to All Hit Radio, and it's 53 degrees at 13 minutes past the hour. And right now in our All Request line, I've got Mike Ledgerwood on the phone. Hey, babe, what would you like to hear? Hey, babe, I'm sorry. I can't hear you too well. You're going to have to speak a little closer into the phone. Okay, babe, what would you like to hear again?
We are observing your Earth.
Hey, Mike, I'm sorry, babe, but that's not on our playlist. And by the way, you sound great over the phone. Anyway, if you give us your request, we'll be glad to play it for you, babe. So let's hear it.
We are observing your Earth.
This was a hit, you know.
Listen, Mike, I'm sorry, babe, but we can't.
And we'd like to make.
I'm sorry, Mike, there's
a contact with you.
This was a huge hit. Do you remember this? I played this all the time on the radio back when I was a DJ. Mind, you have capacities, you know. Calling occupants of interplanetary craft, Karen and Richard Carpenter. You know, it's there's a thing, a little, they call it a meme, you know, and it's kind of this thing that kind of goes virally all around. The meme is on Facebook. I see this all the time now. If you know what this picture is, repost it.
If you're old enough to know this, so that one that was around at first, I think might have been the first one, was a cassette and a pencil. If you know why these two things go together, you must be of a certain age. Repost it. I just saw one of Karen, Richard Carpenter. If you know who these two are, repost it. Do people really not? That would be kind of, I guess it's probably true. People don't remember them. Good song. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the number coming up at 33 minutes and 33 seconds after the hour, to be exact. Chris Marquardt, the photo guy. We'll talk digital photography in just a bit. But first, Eric in Chino Hills, California. Hi, Eric. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Yeah, hey, Leo. How you doing?
I am well. How are you?
Good, good, good. So, hey, this is what happened. I bought a Sharp Aquos because I heard you guys.
Nice monitor. Nice LED backlit LCD TV. Yep.
I got the 70-inch 3D LED.
Whoa, you got a big one.
Yeah, and about a month into it, I got a blue vertical line.
Oh.
So I called Sharp. They delivered a brand new TV.
As they should, because that's, you know, broken.
Right. And about 3 days after that, I got a red vertical line down the right side. So now I'm wondering if this TV's got some inherent issues.
Well, it is big. they actually go up to 90 inches now. Sharp. Sharp was the company it was the largest display I'd ever seen, LCD display I've ever seen. It was, 109 inches. I brought it onto Live with Regis and Kelly about 5 years ago. It was so big that they had to put it in the belly of a 747, and they could only fit one in there at a time. And it flew out, and it came in a box that was really looked like a container, you know, from a container ship. It was huge. And it also came with four engineers from Japan. They set it up on the set of Live with Regis and Kelly, this beautiful Sharp Aquos, and it had a red line going right down the middle of it. You can imagine the calls to Tokyo that went flew back and forth, back and forth. They could not fix it. There was only one, so they said, just don't mention it, okay? Unfortunately, and I don't know if they briefed Kelly, but fortunately, she didn't mention it either. So that is something that, and of course, it's from handling or a manufacturing defect. And the bigger a screen is, the more liquid crystal elements it has in there, the more lines it has in there, and the more likely it is to fail. So a bigger screen, the yields go down the bigger the screen. I think you've had bad luck. I think that it's not a general problem. They should repair it or replace it. I don't think it's repairable. They should replace it because it's a flaw.
I just returned it. And so now I'm looking at something else because now I'm kind of,
You're gun shy, and I don't blame you.
Yeah.
There's somebody in the chat room who has one who says, mine's great, mine's fine. I mean, I don't think they're all bad or we would be hearing a lot about it. But when you get that big, just physically more likely there are going to be problems with it, especially because of handling. How do you even get those in there, in the house?
Well, it took a couple people to hold it up and then hang it from the mount.
Yeah. So it's very possible that in shipping or handling, something got squinched.
Yeah. Okay. So what would you recommend? I looked up some other.
My favorite. You want to get LCD?
I was thinking. I have a Samsung plasma now.
I love Samsung. I was going to recommend Samsung either for plasma or LCD.
Okay.
Traditionally, with plasma, it was Panasonic and Pioneer. Pioneer got out of the business. The big names are all very good.
Right.
But I do like Samsung. I don't think you can go wrong with Samsung.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. Then
70 inches. Wow.
Yeah.
Right,
they only have a... do you know if they have a 70-inch?
I don't think so. I think Sharp's got the biggest. Sharp goes up to 90 now. I'm not sure. We'll have to ask our home theater guy, Scott Wilkinson, if he notices more defects in larger displays. It just stands to reason. That it's bigger, it's going to get handled, the handling is tough. And I do like big screens, I have to say. I have a 55-inch plasma, which is gorgeous. And in the daytime, that's what I watch. And at night, I press the button, the screen goes down, and I've got a 10-foot screen projection. It's much dimmer, of course. You have to have the room completely darkened. But boy, it's been fun to watch the Olympics where the athletes are practically, I guess they are life-sized if it's a close-up. There actually is a 6'2" volleyballer is actually almost 6'2" on my screen. Projection has its issues, but boy, it does. It's nice. If you want a really big screen, it's a nice way to go. And it's gotten much more affordable, I have to say. Kevin in Huntington Beach, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Kevin.
Hey. Hi, Leo. How are you today?
I am well. How are you?
I am very good. And just a quick side note, you were talking about your the number of programs you've done. And I remember years ago, for whatever reason, the number you said, this is show 152. And I remember, I've been listening for a long time. I probably was listening back to the beginning, and now I heard you say it was 898.
898. Sometime next year we'll hit 1,000. We'll have to have a party.
That's impressive.
Well, it just makes me feel old. I don't know.
And you would think after all these years I would be a tech genius, but it's still all kind of Greek.
I am the luckiest guy in the world. I don't know how I've survived this long in this business, but I am very grateful. I'm very grateful.
And you do a fine job.
Thank you, sir. I feel like I have 18 gold medals.
There you go. You are the champ for us. My question for you today is, I was running AVG Free, and it's up with a Trojan dropper.
AVG is notorious, as is Avast, for what we call false positives.
Okay.
So do not freak out.
Well, I didn't. That's the good news. Actually, I tried to go onto their chat, and I went through two very long chat sessions with no help, and they referred me to the...
It's a free program. I'm amazed they give you any help.
Well, they referred me to the line, which tried to sell me $200.
Ah, that's why. That's why they offer service and support.
Exactly. So I downloaded Malwarebytes, and it did find some bad guys in there.
Ah.
And it seems to have taken care of.
Well, but again, Malwarebytes also, a lot of these programs will identify things like cookies as malware. Did Malwarebytes find the same Dropbox Trojan?
Yes, it found...
Well, hang on. Let's talk about it. I don't want you to go away yet. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Let's get Mr. Marquardt on the line. Marquardt. Oh, I gotta pick up the Skypes. Oh, you had enough, huh? No, it's okay. Are you gonna swap again? We could put another chair in here over there. Eli, why don't you just put another chair over right here? There's no reason. There's plenty of room. Plenty of room. Yeah, I bought my screen for less than $600 at mono price. Motorized, remote control. I got the, I had the Epson Cinema, Cinema Mate, something like that, projector, a 6100. It wasn't very expensive. I've had that for a few years, so I just used that. I think we got that for the studio some years ago. And then I have an Onkyo AV receivers, the 616, which is about $600. Total cost, including the 6100, if you include that cost, was $3,000 or $4,000. Oh, and then I got Edemotics 5.1 surround. Total cost around $4,000 or $5,000. Something comparable to a big screen TV. Ting's the thing stacked. Now they're a sponsor, so consider the source. But I know I've been very impressed with Ting. I like Ting. No, not Edemotics. Emotiva, I'm sorry. Love Emotiva. Love my surround. What's the matter? Oh, good. You can hear me chew. I have salads every day. Do I have a live audience in front of me? No, it's just seven friends. I've got
Chris and Melissa and John and Mitch and Rob and Gabe and Rachel and Stuart. And none of them have passed out yet. Although I think Rachel was dozing a little earlier. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, yes, Chris. Yes, yes. I know I'm supposed to be calling you, but instead I'm messing around. Let's close Dick and look for Chris on Skype. Double click there. Double click there. There we go. Video call. Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
I am doing great. What? And I can actually see your picture now. Woo-hoo.
Yay, woo-woo. We fixed
it. Does it sound any good? You're not getting many frames there.
No, no, that's because it's VPN. Hold on.
Okay.
You're looking at another computer, looking at another computer.
Okay, good.
I don't expect much frame rate on that. But you'll be fine on this, I'm sure.
Yes, looking much, much better.
Much better. What do you want to talk about today, Mr. Marquardt?
The five things that help you get better pictures.
Oh, wow.
Little creativity lesson today.
All right, good.
We'll talk about some of the basics, but it's still so important. And now with the new Canon M and stuff coming out, people will buy new cameras again. And
what do you think? Have you tried the Canon M yet?
No, I have looked at it. It looks intriguing. For a Canon shooter, it looks very intriguing.
Yeah. Same mount, right?
I don't think... I don't know if it's available yet. I think it's...
No, I don't think it is yet. Hold on. What was the... I just saw a movie with... was it Ted? Yeah. Ted has Flash Gordon in it from the old TV show. Meaningless. 8888 Ask Leo. Sometimes you just talk. For no apparent reason, you talk. Now, we were talking before the break... With Kevin in Huntington Beach, his AVG Free said he had a virus, a Dropbox Trojan, and Malwarebytes confirmed it. So that doesn't sound like a false positive to me. Did anything else confirm it?
Well, actually, no. That's kind of my follow-up. I have two other questions that kind of all tie together, because the Malwarebytes found it in a couple of different forms. One was the Trojan.dropper.1.mci or something, and then it switched to BC Miner, but it has apparently cleared all of those. I also downloaded Microsoft Essentials. It didn't find anything, and I did some forum. I looked on some forums regarding. I just typed in Google Microsoft Essentials versus ESET. And it was kind of interesting that, you know, some people thought Microsoft Essentials is dynamite. A lot of people thought ESET is dynamite. But I tried. I downloaded ESET as well, which made me get rid of Microsoft Essentials.
Yeah, you can't have two antiviruses running. Because what will happen, you get a lot of false positives as they scan. They'll see the antivirus signatures from the other company, and they'll go, oh, that's a virus. So you really only should run one at a time. You should pick one and stick with it.
Well,
The only free one I would recommend is Microsoft's at this point. And you know, Windows 8 will have that built in.
Okay.
If you were able to, and so these other programs did not find any infections?
No. And then I also did the MRT.
Yes. That everybody has that. The Microsoft malicious software removal tool is a great little tool.
And so now everything is saying there's nothing there. So it seems safe to assume that there's nothing there now at this point.
Yeah. You know, my general reaction is if you ever get a virus, you probably should start over. This particular virus doesn't sound like it was very well entrenched. It sounds like you actually did remove it. And if you're coming up clean from ESET, Malwarebytes, Microsoft Security Essentials, and MRT, I think you're clean.
Okay.
So perfect. I wouldn't worry about it. And just don't get it again.
Absolutely. Yeah, it wasn't in there very long, but now, I have a couple of websites that have my PayPal and banking information there that I did not go to while it was in there. So would it have had a chance to somehow have drifted in there?
No, probably not.
But that is part of the unknown. There's a couple of things that are now unknown. How you got it, if it got in there deep, what it got, what information it got. And more importantly, and this could be a bigger issue, if there's other stuff that got in there that is not being detected. For instance, it's possible to get a rootkit on there that those ESET does detect rootkits, but it's possible to have a rootkit on there that is not detectable by some security software. So you got to be careful. That's why the general rule is once a system has been compromised, the only sure way to make it safe is to format and install from a known good source. In other words, start over. I don't think you need to. I think you're fine, Kevin. This is a rare case where it was a minor infection. Sounds like you got rid of it. I wouldn't worry about it. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. We'll get back to the phones in a second. But look who's here. Chris Marquardt, my photo guru. Chris Marquardt is the host of a great podcast called Tips from the Top Floor. TFTTF.com. Actually, go to ChrisMarquardt.com, his website, because he also has workshops. He's got Pocket Chris. He's got some apps. It's just a man of many talents. And he joins us every week to talk about making our photography better. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Leo. It's awesome to be here.
Great to talk to you. You've got the five things everyone should know to be a better photographer.
I think so, yeah. Well, because I've just seen so many new cameras come out, and I know a lot of people are in the process of getting a new camera. They just got a new camera, and they might just be entering photography. And contrary to common belief, shallow depth of field is not really creative unless you use it for a purpose. So I wanted to talk about a few things that help your photography in general. And those are tips that are good for anyone who has a camera. So let's start with the first one. Too much distraction in a picture is possibly not a good thing. There are so many things going on in pictures nowadays that it's sometimes easier to really focus on something and try to get distractions out. And you could, for example, get in closer. Very important tip. So get close so you remove detail from the background. I think if I had to give a number one tip, that would probably be it. So you can switch off now.
Yeah. No, you see that all the time, cluttered photos, and you don't know what to look at.
Yes, easy.
And, yeah. And if, you know what? A great test here. Look at the amazing photography that we're getting from Sports Illustrated and others of the Olympics. And you look closely. Olympics are a classic case where you could have a lot of clutter. This big audience. There's a big team, whatever. But almost to a picture, they focus on one athlete, the emotions on the face of that athlete.
Exactly. So one subject, make sure you pare it down to as little, to the most important thing. Then secondly, watch the light. That is really, really key. There are so many things that the light does in your pictures. Beautiful shadows, beautiful reflections. Those are really important. Sometimes it's even better to have a light source behind the subject than in front of the subject, believe it or not. Today's cameras are really good in handling these situations. And I remember my dad used to tell me, keep the sun in your bag, make sure everyone has a sun in their face. No, that makes people squint and make people look good. So.
But it was in the old days when you just didn't have the lighting capability.
Oh, yeah. Necessary, but now it's not. Now it's not
now
at all.
You can do something about it, yeah.
Another thing, again, back to the background thing, make the background, use the background to your advantage. For example, to contrast the subject, you might have a color in the foreground that you might want to contrast with another color in the background, or to complement it in some way. Or you could use things in the background as frames. You will always be confronted with things in the background. Use them to your advantage. And this way you can even make a busy background into something that really works well. And you can see that in some of those pictures from the Olympics, that they have elements in the background that they then incorporate into the picture.
Yeah.
Another thing is try a different perspective. It's so common to take a picture from your eye's height, from your eye perspective. But that is the norm. Everyone takes pictures like that. So if you change your perspective, let's say lower the camera, get a frog's eye view or a bird's eye view from higher up, that will make things very, very different. That'll make things much, much more exciting. So different perspective, always a good idea. You could even do an impossible perspective from inside something, from inside a box, a garbage can.
I've seen some of those, and they're fun. Yeah.
I've seen lots of those pictures from people who took pictures of themselves with a self timer on the camera from inside the fridge, which is
awesome. What a good idea. I love that.
Or a washing machine, something. Just don't wash the camera, okay? And last but not least, if you are at the point where you take the picture, get closer and get even closer than you would normally and start cutting things off of your subject. Don't always show the entire thing. Get so close
get
that
tight.
You will even tighter than you would usually go. That's kind of the point here. You want to give the viewer something to think about when they look at the picture.
Chris Marquardt, he's at chrismarquardt.com. Our photo guy joins us every week. I'll tell you about our assignment when we come back, because we've got a good one for you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. This is a good example of when you said these, you know, it's funny, these Olympic photos really are perfect examples of that, although they don't use the odd perspective. Did you get all five, Chris?
I think so, yeah.
Whether you're running
I mixed them
business,
up a bit.
Working for good. You got them in.
Going to the post office.
I will hang in there. We'll come back and we'll do the assignment.
So I use stamps.com. Cool. I never go to the post office.
I've actually enjoyed, in some ways, more looking at the still pictures from the Olympics. It's fun to watch the events, of course. I really love watching the end of the events because it's just so great to see the emotion.
I just heard something today about the sound they do in the Olympics, which is amazing. They actually use loops and stuff for, like, races and stuff.
No.
They add in sounds to make the whole thing more compelling.
Who they? The people in the stadium or the TV broadcasters?
I think the broadcasters. I believe the broadcasters do some of that because they can't place microphones everywhere, and they want to have it as compelling as a Hollywood movie. So they add in Foley sounds.
That doesn't surprise me. NBC's been doing everything they can to junk this thing up.
So yeah, I've heard the story.
How is the German broadcasts? Are they good?
It's good, yeah. There's pretty much everything in there that we want. It's not time shifted. It's not.
Right.
There is advertising, obviously, but it's still. It feels still okay. It doesn't feel wrong.
Yeah. I'm probably gonna get in trouble with NBC for just putting those pictures on the screen. You've got to
try it again. Even though I hear the stories about what the athletes can do in terms of twittering and sending pictures and stuff, and there are so many restrictions there. It's let you know when it's going to go wrong
before it goes wrong. So you well, they're really they're trying to make it opera. Tools, one easy
platform, you know? From Citrix. They are, and they're totally also control trying to keep all the control over all the communications. Yeah.
And I think in the internet era, it doesn't work anymore. I mean, this is probably the last time they're going to get away with that, I would guess. 30 days free
when you visit GoToAssist.com. I hope so.
People want authenticity.
Oh, I love the way lots of museums now opened up for photography because they just realized that getting that information out there,
right,
getting pictures out there is going to help them in the long run.
Exactly. Exactly.
By the way, we're already getting some veggie pictures.
Good.
Just a few so far, but...
Yeah, the Olympics feels so manufactured now, unfortunately.
Yes,
I think that kind of takes some of the spontaneity and excitement out of it. All right, I am going to go to the... We're getting some veggies.
Now, someone combined veggies and barbecue. That's a nice one.
Barbecued veggies.
I want more close-ups, though.
Well, and some of these are suffering from what you described... That's pretty. Kind of busy. Same thing.
Lots of clutter. That one is a nice one.
Yeah, a little closer, a little tighter.
Oh, I actually like that next one. It's there's lots going on, but it has an inherent order. It has it's a cleaned up picture in some way. It has a nice symmetry to it, so.
Is this going to barbecue, I think we're back into barbecue.
I think we're back into barbecue. We only have four new pictures.
We only have four veggie. Well, we got to get that up fixed up here. T3i. Sony DSCRX100. Canon PowerShot SX3 230. And we don't know.
Can't wait for the Canon M cameras to come up.
Those look good. But they're not the same mount, so you have to get all new lenses.
No. There's an adapter. You can buy an adapter. Okay. That is an actual Canon adapter, so it'll take your EF lenses.
Leo, I knew you wanted it. So I'm going to you here. Just for you. Carbonite Library. I'll light the fuse, and I'll never
lose, and I choose to survive. Muse, and what I'm told is the official song of the Olympics, although I haven't heard it anywhere, ever, except on this show, actually. Chris Marquardt is here, our photo guy, chrismarquardt.com. I didn't want to let you go without talking about our assignment. We do this, Chris does this every month, just to give you really an excuse to go out and shoot. We pick a topic and we ask you to take a picture that illustrates or in some way talks about that topic. What is the topic this week or this month, I should say?
The topic this month is veggie. So last month we had barbecue or BBQ. This time it's veggie and pictures are already starting to come in. And I'm constantly amazed seeing the group at close to 10,000 members now, and the photos they these 10,000 members submitted over 2,000 photos so far.
Wow.
So that's where things are really happening, and people have started submitting veggie pictures, and yeah, they're good. Some of them could probably use one or the other of those five tips I gave a few minutes ago.
Well, here's the deal: we're going to do this for a few more weeks. We're not done, so. Your assignment to illustrate the concept veggie in some way. And when you do get a picture you like, you can upload it to Flickr. Flickr is a photo sharing site that's free to use. If you have a Yahoo account, you already have a Flickr account. If not, it's easy to create one. It's Flickr without an E, FLICKR.com. And once you do, go to the groups menu at the top of the page and search for Tech Guy. Two words, Tech Guy. You'll know you're in the right place when you see 9,600 some members, 2,500 photos. Upload your photo to Flickr, tag it with the word veggie, and then submit it to the group pool. Our moderator, I guess we have a number of moderators right now. Renee Silverman is I guess one of the admins. Orbit Gal, is she gone or is she just on assignment?
I think she's still around.
Good. But Renee's been helping out, which is great. So you can see her post that describes the assignment. And we encourage you to participate, not because there's a prize or anything. Chris is going to pick three representative photos and talk about them in a couple of weeks, just because it's fun. You can spell it with an E, really? Will that get you the same place? F. You know, I always say without an E because that's the official name of the site, FLICKER.com. Does that? It does. It works.
If they're smart, they got that domain.
They got
too.
It. Yep. So either one would work. Flickr.com. Chris, thank you so much. ChrisMarquardt.com. Now, see, you got to go out and get all the different spellings of Marquardt.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Tell you what, go to Tech Guy, the brand new TechGuyLabs.com, and we'll have a link to Chris's site and all the stuff he's up to, including those great workshops. He's coming to the U.S. In fact, we're going to do a photo day next month, August 18th, here at the studio. So that'll be fun.
We're going to be in studio, and it's going to be awesome. I'm already rounding up guests, and you and I will geek out about stuff. I'm going to bring a large format camera.
I saw that.
So we'll actually look at a pretty new and old camera tech at the same time. Awesome to illustrate some concepts, and we'll have a show and tell, and we'll just geek out in general. So we'll have an entire afternoon of geeking out.
I'm told we're already in August, so it's this month. It's just a few weeks. It's 2 weeks from now. August 18th, yeah. Okay. When did that happen? All right, August 18th, 13 days from now. Thank you, Chris.
All right, take care.
Steve in Miami, Florida, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Steven.
Hey, Leo.
Welcome to the show. What can I do for you?
I have a friend, and he's starting a T-shirt business, and he wanted me to check for him to see what all would be entailed with some e-commerce.
You know, there are a couple of companies, and I'll tell you a couple of different companies that do everything from soup to nuts, and it really makes it a lot easier. You know, if you could do it all by hand, set up a merchant account, download software, install it on a web server, blah, 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 and it's kind of a pain.
So,
you know, if he wants to focus on doing what he does best, which is designing, making, and selling T-shirts, let the guys who do e-commerce the best do it. So, two I would recommend. One is called Big Commerce. These are the two big names in the industry. And Big Commerce does the site. They do everything. They used to be a sponsor. They're not anymore, but I'm still going to give them a plug because I really like what they do. They have a free trial. BigCommerce.com. And it's, you know, it used to be these were shopping carts that you'd add on to existing stuff. Now they do the whole thing. They even help you with marketing and stuff. The other one is called Shopify. Shop, and these are the two big competitors. Shopify.com. And, you know, I think that you should just try. I think both have free trials. You should just buy, try them both. See which one he finds easiest to use. In each case, you're in effect getting a website plus the e-commerce solution for a flat fee. Both Shopify and BigCommerce have free trials. So I would just say, you know, don't open the store yet. Just try both of them. Set up a store. See how easy it is to do and that kind of thing.
That sounds like the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Believe me, it's much easier than doing it yourself.
I have a quick question for you on photographs, if you have time.
Sure.
It just reminded me, listening to Chris give those suggestions there. I have family pictures going way back to the 1920s, and I wanted to digitize them.
Yeah. Oh, you definitely want to get them. Yeah.
Deteriorating.
Uh-huh. Plus, you can clean them up, you know. You can get the scratches out and all that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I was wondering, you know, because... That's very complicated. Is there like a website I could go to?
Yeah. So now if you wanted to do it yourself, you could. You could buy the gear, a scanner. You could get Photoshop.
Oh, yeah, I got one.
Well, you can do it yourself, but it's very time consuming. If my general suggestion, unless you really want to get, you know, this is that same thing I just said, unless you want to get into the e-commerce business, let somebody else do it. Unless you want to get into the business of scanning and cleaning up photos, you know, you're only going to do this once. I was thinking of doing it myself. Certainly, I have the scanner and I have the tools. But I had 1,000 slides, our old family photos, and I brought them to a service bureau. And, they, you know, the prices range anywhere from 10, 20, 30 cents an image. But they'll clean them up. They make them look good, and they give them to you on a CD or a DVD or a hard drive. And it just, you know what? From my point of view, it's better to let them do it. So I'm going to just mention one company that does this nationwide. The one I used was in Providence, Rhode Island. They're not a nationwide company. This is one that does do it nationwide. It's called Scan Cafe. And they're around as low as 22 cents per scan. Now, if you have 1,000 images, that's going to start to add up. But it's still, I think, given what your time is worth, it's probably more economical.
I agree.
They have a shoebox thing where you just fill up the box and they charge you a flat fee. I think they're really good. I think I would not hesitate to recommend them. But you know, things like Costco and Walmart, they all do this too. You might check around. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. But this is obviously they specialize in people's, you know, old family photos. These are old pictures, and they clean them up so nicely. These look like ectochrome, which has a blue, kind of a blue.
If you're
cast
running a small business, you can't operate at anything
that's
less than full speed
sure.
These days. That's why you need the world's fastest two-sided inkjet printer, the Epson Workforce Pro.
So I haven't used them, so I don't know how good they are, but I think they're all right.
I love it.
The one we used was in was a small company in Providence. They did an amazing job.
Also knows you got to run a tight ship these days in business, so the Workforce Pro is budget friendly too.
But I think this looks good. They actually will clean up the photo. They'll do color correction.
Ink isn't the only place you can save, since the Workforce Pro zips out two sign.
This is a classic ectochrome, very blue.
Paper costs up to 50%, right? That's a good deal for Mother Nature too. Less paper. Less trees.
So that's much better.
Documents look more professional when you print on both sides. So put your small business in overdrive with the Cheetah Fast Epson Workforce.
And something they could do pretty easily.
Save 10% on the Workforce.
You could do it too. So Brian Dan used Scan Cafe with some 50-year-old pictures from his grandfather. He said they did a great job. So good. So Scan Cafe. They give you they have a box, which is kind of cool. So one of the ways they do this is... They send you a box, and you just load it up with everything you got. Just pile a bunch of crap in there, and then I think it's a flat fee.
You're tuned to Premier Channel 7.
This is their gift box. So what you do is you send this to Grandma and say, put your pictures in this. And this is why I was so anxious to do these slides that we did. They came out great. I'll show you. Because my mom had the slides, and there was one copy. And I was terrified we were going to lose them. I have to log in, I think, to get these. From Premier Radio Network. So this way, we got a... my sister, my mom, and I all got a CD with the pictures on them. So we have all the pictures. Let me see if I can find the old family photos. Yeah.
This is Premier Channel 7. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, will begin.
That's me and my mom. So that's 1958. These are all slides. So they did massive color correction on these. A lot of these were ektachrome. Most of them were Kodachrome, probably. And they also cleaned off, like, because they were slides, there was a lot of dust and particles. That's me. Little Leo. This is a Spanish white linen Spanish suit my grandmother brought back from Seville. I don't know why my mom let me eat a popsicle, but notice she has wrapped me in a towel. These are all of me. I went through them. That's my dad and me. I went through them and
you're tuned to Premier Channel 7. Leo Laporte,
organized them.
We'll begin at 6 minutes past the hour from Premier Radio Networks.
So I have different folders with. Kodachrome.
When I look back on all the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder.
I'm a little older in these.
And my lack of education.
I think I look like myself there by then. I'm probably 13, 12. 14. It's my sister Eva. It's kind of a dork. It's Block Island, I think, Rhode Island. It's my dad.
I do actually have a little Instamatic there, I think.
I had good hair. It's my grandma. Is it Instamatic? Look at that. Now that's a camera. Yeah, I do look like Henry in that one, actually. Oh, boy. Now we're in the 70s. My dad building a table, which we still have. This is in New Hampshire. Dad'll turn 80 next year. Look at my hair. And that was our little beagle. Henna, we got her there. Beautiful beagle. $10.
That's my baba.
Yeah, I had quite the fro. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, I know her. I have pictures from college here somewhere. I should actually post these on my Facebook because I haven't posted these yet. That's me in probably freshman in college, 1973. So these are all scanned slides.
My roommate, David. Mark, my other roommate. Scott Osterweil. It's me again. Jamie Brandt took all these pictures. He was quite a photographer. It's Rob Weevil, Mark Anderson.
I think I'm yelling at him.
That was our entryway, Durfee Hall. That was my room right here. Oh, Ashok. That's Jamie. That's the guy who took the pictures.
From Premier Radio Network.
That's my friend Bill Keane. My other one of my roommates, Holly Metzger. There we are. That's the that's freshman year. That's the dorm. That's me right there. There's a bong on some of these somewhere.
Premier Channel 7.
Not in this, I think.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
But we did have the fire extinguisher. We a lot of hijinks with the fire extinguisher.
From Premier Radio Networks.
Scott McNutt. Wow. Oh. See, now I can sell these. Anybody wants to buy those, they're all available for sale.
You are tuned to Premier Channel 7. Leo,
I'll find here. I'll find
guy.
The.
We'll begin at 6 minutes past
the
hour.
The,
from Premier Radio Network.
This is why I can never run for office. A little Afro man.
I was gonna clean my room until I got.
You can't play that, can you? Can't play the Afro man. I'm in trouble. But that's just a flower vase. It's a stem, a bud vase. Just a bud vase. Oh. Well, a good day to you, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. How are you? Good to see you. Time to talk about computers and the internet, cell phones and camcorders, MP3 players, home theater and all that jazz. During the break, we were showing the chat room old pictures that I had. It was great. My mom had them we were talking about scanning your photos, you know. My mom had slides. I think there were probably almost 1,000 slides from my childhood and up. And going up, I think we had even slides from the late 90s because I was still shooting film back then. And they were in Kodak carousels. I had gone through them. I remember I'd edited them down and put them in order. But there was one copy of them. Plus, they probably were deteriorating up in the attic there. So we had 8 or 9 carousels. So my sister found a company in Providence, where she lives, Providence, Rhode Island. And I think it was 30 cents, something like that. It wasn't inexpensive. It was several hundred bucks. But, boy, they did a nice job. They clean them. For one thing, slides get a lot of dust and hairs and stuff on them. They clean them, scan them, color correct them. And then each of us, my mom, my sister, and I all got, oh, and my dad, we got 4 CDs with all the images on there. And that was great to have. And now we don't have to worry because we all have copies. There's not just one copy of it. So it really is a way to preserve family history. I think it's a great thing to do. We have a number of people in the chat room. I have not used Scan Cafe. That's the company we were talking about. But we have a number of people in the chat room who say they were very happy with the work. So I guess that's the national company. But as I said, you know, lots of people will do this. In fact, probably your local photo processor will do it. Ted is in Iron River, Michigan, our next caller. Hi, Ted. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Yeah, Leo, I was sitting here waiting for you, and I was thinking, you know, I just picked up a couple new Fords, and I didn't find a coupon cord on the bill of sale for those, so I could get a discount from Twit.
We need Ford to give us a discount. You know, all of the advertisers, all of them pretty much have some sort of free trial, right? A 30-day free trial. The only one I can't figure out how to do it is Ford. How would let's try that Mustang for 30 days, see how you like it. we'll work on it for you, Ted, that special Ford discount. What can I do for you?
I bought my mother and father-in-law a 37-inch Vizio, an M-series Vizio, and
he's kind of hard of hearing, and he's got the TV up where she wants to sleep. But
oh,
I'm trying to
yeah.
would be the best solution.
Yeah. My mom's a little hard of hearing. She'll be 80 next year. And it's hard when she wants to watch TV because she needs to turn it up. I'm sympathetic, but the rest of us are going deep listening to the TV. So, you know, what you probably would like is some wireless headphones.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't want to sit. He's sitting fairly far away. The last thing you want to do is have a wire going from the television set. Most TV sets now, I don't know if that Vizio does, but I would guess it has a headphone jack.
I would think it does. It's, I mean, it's a newer one. It's 120 hertz, so it's a fairly new TV.
Now, I've seen, you know, I'm going to get these and review them. You've seen the ads for probably on TV for the Magic Ears. They're wireless. They're just exactly what they, how they advertise them. They're for people who want to lie in bed and not keep their wife up or their husband up while they're watching TV. And so they're wireless, but I've never tried these. I don't see why they wouldn't work. I'll tell you, I do have some wireless headphones that use infrared, like a remote control uses infrared, which means their line of sight. That's not good because you turn your head and you lose the signal. So if you get wireless headphones, I would recommend RF-based headphones.
Okay.
RF.
One other thing, too, Leo. I just picked up Microsoft Signature Series Vizio.
I love this idea. Microsoft created this signature idea, the idea being no junk on the computer. You pay a little bit more for this, but no junk. And you know what? No, they couldn't get one manufacturer to make these until Vizio came along.
Yeah, I really like it. I got it about a week or so ago.
Which one did you get? Because Vizio's making an all-in-one kind of iMac-style one, but I think they also have a laptop.
Right. No, this is an iMac-style one. And the only thing I don't like is I don't like that trackpad thing. I'm still a mouse guy.
Yeah. Well, wait till Windows 8 comes out. You'll want the trackpad because that's kind of where it's all headed. I guess there are other companies. I'm looking at Microsoft's store. I guess there are other companies that make signature PCs. But Vizio, to me, Vizio was the one that really, was the first to jump on this. And I think that's the way to go. If you go to signature.microsoft.com, you can see. Yeah, Samsung, I guess, is making some Ultrabooks that way. And you pay more because, you know what, these companies, HP is notorious, they load all this junkware on the system. They get paid by all these companies to put the trial versions of software on there. So it makes some money, $50, $60 bucks a PC. And that may, in many cases, be their sole profit. So that it's hard to get them to kind of wean them off of that.
Computers several years ago because there's just too much junkware on them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. My friend Paul Theron is actually featured. Paul does a show for us called Windows Weekly. He's featured on the Microsoft Signature page. Industry experts have spoken. Paul says, PCs with Microsoft Signature are quicker, cleaner, and better organized. It's true. And I just don't. But the funny thing is, most of these companies won't do it because it costs them too much money. You could do it. You can go to Dell and buy a PC without the junkware, but you pay them for it. You pay them extra. For me, it's worth it. If it's only 20 bucks, I'd do it. So good. I'm glad to know that you like the Vizio. How long have you had it?
Just about 3 weeks now so far. So,
okay.
I mean, I've no real big test yet, but it works good.
Best Buy charges $180 bucks to remove junkware. Is that true? That's shocking. So Sennheiser makes headphones that are designed to work with hearing aids. There are a number. Does your dad wear a hearing aid?
No, my father-in-law, no, he doesn't wear a hearing aid, at least not yet. But, he just wants something that he can listen to the TV while my mother-in-law sleeps so we can shut the volume isn't on the TV.
So I'm looking on the Sennheiser, which is a great headphone company. They actually have a whole page of wireless TV headphones. And they have infrared, but they also have RF. My strong recommendation is get RF. So he can turn his head. Yeah, not infrared, because then you can't turn your head, or it's very annoying. You lose the sound.
Another thing before I leave here, thanks for the education over the years.
My pleasure. You're welcome.
It's been, highly recommended when you give us a buy on it, and I love your new show there. Before you buy, that's great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we have a couple of new shows on the network. We've been trying to.
freshen things up. And good, I'm glad you like it. But yeah, Before You Buy is our review show. And I'll tell you what, I'll try to get some wireless headphones for review, and we'll talk about them.
Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate
You're welcome.
It.
Thanks, Ted. Appreciate the call and the kind words. Very nice of you. Michael in Boulder, Colorado. You're next, Michael. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello, Michael.
I push the button, and I don't hear anything at all. Kyle, do you? Michael, are you there?
I think we just lost him.
You think we lost him? All right. Well, I'll put him on hold, and let's see. We'll go to Dean in Silverthorne, Colorado. You're next. Hi, Dean. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, I've got problems here.
You know, I don't know why. Everybody who calls me has got problems. What's the story here?
2 weeks ago, my computer shut itself off, and when it restarted, it started back like it was fresh out of the box. No software, no anything, no data, no restore date. And
So Windows didn't boot at all. Did Windows boot?
Yes, Windows booted up.
But it booted as if it had been never used.
Right. It was like it was fresh from the factory.
Huh. You know, there used to be a Microsoft program, and there are other commercial programs to do this. Pharonix makes one called Deep Freeze. Microsoft had Steady State that would do this, but usually it let you know it was doing it. Let's talk some more. Hold on. Huh. Wow, they even have a plug for Windows Weekly on this Microsoft signature.
If you're in the professional support business, an IT professional,
of course, I bet you Microsoft caches this. Yeah,
you know about remote access,
so we don't get any hits from it. But
the ability to fix a computer from afar.
Huh? I wasn't even on it. It was Tom.
No, and maybe even use remote monitoring.
This is old. It's in the cottage.
Does it all?
Cottage.
Problems remotely, but lets you see problems before they happen.
That's funny.
The new Go to Assist from Citrix.
Huh.
Have you tried this?
Oh.
The brand new Go to Assist, even if you've
you know what I ought to do right now? Be a really good thing to do right now.
It tells you exactly what hardware and software is running on your client networks and lets you know when something is about to go wrong before it goes wrong.
I
so
would
you can
do
swoop
it.
In and be a support hero.
What does this say?
Tool.
Leo is out sick today.
From Citrix, a trusted leader in IT.
Hey, Matt, Mr. Wait a minute. Am I in trouble? Did I?
We're going to have to confiscate your studio.
Did I drive this show a little too fast?
So you can see here that I'm the
official officer. A Twit Police is here.
The post office. To send out your letters and packages.
I like the Mountie outfit. The Mountie hat. That's good.
Stamps.com.
You got to be official.
You don't see a lot of Mounties with bright red hair.
I need to see your papers.
Oh my God! Here. This is the list of people who will vouch for me. They're all sitting right here.
I guess so. I'll let you slide this time, but next time you better be ready.
Wow, that was a close call. I got pulled over.
We couldn't live.
Don't make me pull this radio show over.
That's why I've got a special offer for you.
Where'd you get that?
Video, you'll get a no-risk trial. That
you guys, you're so silly.
Postage. It's worth $110.
Official officer of the Twit Police. I like it.
Click the radio
silly.
Microphone at the top. The right
so, yeah, why would we give that to Kara Swisher Stamps. If she shows up?
My name, Leo. This is an awesome offer.
I actually have. You know, if you look at my wardrobe, I actually have a Chicopee Police shirt with a badge and everything. It's actually in the wardrobe. I need the hat. Well, you could use, that's a Russian police officer hat. You could wear that. I got that in, this is what you want.
This is actually a
Twit Army!
It says sit high on the head.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you should welcome all of our visitors. I look like the skipper from Gilligan's Island in this thing. Hey, little buddy! I do, don't I? I look like Alan Hale Jr. Hey, little buddy! Good. If we ever want to do Gilligan's Island, you could be Gilligan. And I'll be the skipper. And Lisa could be Ginger. He could be Marianne. No. You would be, you'd be Professor. The Professor.
Hey, little buddy. Gilligan.
I actually interviewed the skipper once, you know. Alan Hale Jr. He was selling some sort of oil additive. It was very sad.
He said, no, we didn't make any money off Gilligan's Island.
No residuals. I'm a ginger guy. Marianne was okay, but... It's so funny how times have changed. This was a huge hit. Alex Foley's theme from Beverly Hills Cop. It was Harold Faltermeyer. Remember that? What year is that, Kyle? Because it sounds now, it sounds like a Casio. But in those days, that was pretty sweet, that synthesizer. 83 or 84, thereabouts. Doesn't it sound like a kind of cheesy something you might have picked up at Target for $59? If you like the music our musical director Kyle Benham selects, and who doesn't, what you should probably do is go to Kyle's Google Plus page. Circle him. It's Kyle Benham. K-Y-L-E space B-E-N-H-A-M. Because after every show, he posts his playlist there. It's a Spotify playlist. Hey, you know, Spotify is now free on Android. You get Spotify Premium on Android. That's cool. You can listen to all of those songs. You don't even have to own them, you know. We also put it on our website. The brand new Tech Guy Labs, techguylabs.com. Great opinion piece in the New York Times about autocorrect. I'll talk about that a little bit later. Do you use autocorrect? It's always wrong, isn't it? It's kind of become a kind of almost a joke. You almost don't want to correct it. James Gleick, who wrote, is a great science writer. He wrote Chaos, a number of other great books. Has an opinion piece in the Sunday Times. Autocorrect this! Talk about it in a second. But we must get back to the phones. Dean... in Silverthorne, Colorado. So weirdly enough, now this how new was this computer? It was pretty new.
It's about a year and a half old.
And it never did this before.
No.
There must have been. I wonder if at some point during the boot, you know, some computers. Who makes this one?
It's an HP.
Yeah, some computers, and I don't know if HP does this. Maybe the chat room can let me know. When you're booting up, we'll have a menu item pop up that says, you know, what you'd like to restore, start over. And I think that's what happened. Somehow restored itself. It has a hidden partition on it with Windows 7, with all, you know, that will get it back to the way it came from the factory. But it usually won't do that without repeated warnings that, hey, we're about to erase the hard drive and change everything. Is your data all gone?
Yeah, I lost about 2 months worth of input. I did have a backup that I had done 2 months ago, but I lost the rest.
Now, the other possibility, and I think the chat room's right on this one, they say it could also be that your user account got munged or you accidentally logged into a generic account.
No, it wiped out everything. Every user account on there is gone.
You see, no, you, okay, so... Yeah, it sounds like HP did the, shouldn't have done this automatically, but it somehow automatically did the reset thing.
Yeah, now Friday night, it just came back up with, it went into a safe mode, and it came up with a blue screen, and it would only start in safe mode, and the blue screen came up and said display driver and recovery from timeout failed, and then I came back into the computer today, and it was
off. I turned it back on, and it came back up, and it's working fine now. I'm watching you live on Twitch.
Yeah, you know, I would say that what's likely here is that you have a hard drive that's having some trouble.
Okay.
They're Cosmic Ray saying, look and see if there's a Windows.old folder. I'm not familiar with what might have happened here, but if he thinks that there might have created a Windows.old folder with your old data in it, that would be the right thing to do. But I have to say, I think there's something wrong with this hard drive. So you're going to either want to get a new one, or it's out of warranty, so you can't get HP to fix it. You might just run some, you know, formatting tools to make sure it's okay. But it sounds like the hard drive's not happy. And that maybe triggered an automatic kind of restore from the HP. It should tell you. Should tell you before it, you know, does that, because you lose all your data.
Yeah. Now I've got I have a Lenovo backup system going on there now, and I'm also going to get and purchase Carbonite, so I have an offset as well. So
I would search. The chat room is saying, yeah, this happened. This has happened to me, says New Porter. Look into when the Windows Explorer browse around your user file, is there somewhere with your data still in it? And it does make sense. It does stand to reason. Maybe it redid the hard drive and the operating system, but it should preserve your data. I mean, that's not a good result. I would look in the HP forums too. This sounds like something specific to the Hewlett Packard, but in general, I would not trust that hard drive at this point. Nate, Los Angeles, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Nate.
Hello, good afternoon, Leo. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thanks for calling.
I use Quicken, and I have 2011.
Quicken! And I haven't heard about that in a long time.
So I hope it's a simple question. So basically, it works well for what I need, with one exception. Yeah. It's a single-user program.
Right.
And I'm looking for something like Quicken or equal to Quicken in a multi-user program.
Is this because you're going to use it for your business?
Pretty much. I need to have, I basically need a good checkbook register entry program, which Quicken really does a nice job on. It is for what I need.
Yeah.
But I need more than one person to enter information.
Into the same account or different accounts?
Same account.
And why can't that person just sit down at your computer? Oh, you want to do it on a different computer?
Right.
So you want a kind of a centralized storage somewhere, and on multiple computers can access it. You want, in other words, you want an online, probably want an online Quicken.
Okay, yeah, that would be fine. I have no problem.
Well, I'll tell you what we use, and this is in our business, and it might be more than you need, is QuickBooks, which is Quicken's business version, and they do have both QuickBooks as software, but also QuickBooks Online, which allows multi-users. You pay a monthly fee for that. That may be more than you care to get involved with, but that's essentially a multi-user Quicken. It's designed for business, called QuickBooks. I have to say, or the other thing you could do now is, somebody's saying Quicken in the cloud. Is Intuit offering a online version of Quicken? Because that would do it as well. You know, Intuit bought a company called Mint that really I think they see as the future of online, of money management. Yeah, Mint. So if you go and if you search quicken.intuit.com for online money management, they show you Mint. And I think they think this is the future. Now, you want a check registry where you enter in your checks. The whole idea of Mint, and I use Mint and I love it, is you don't enter in anything. You hook Mint up to all of your accounts, including your checking account, your savings account, your 401k, your stock investment account, your credit cards. You even put in things like your house, your car loan, and all of that. And for free, by the way, setup is very quick. It just monitors everything. And by doing so, you get all the benefits of Intuit, Quicken, but without the data entry. I would look at it. It's completely safe. I use it. And it might really do what you want. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So this is my Mint account, and so I haven't entered checkbook data in years. I got tired of doing all that, right? I mean, the only reason you do that is if you think your bank's going to get it wrong.
But is really, come on. When's the last time your bank screwed up your stuff? So this has all your credit card accounts, all your checking accounts, all your everything. It does budgets for you automatically because it knows what you did. It does, you could set goals. And the way they make money on this is they say, hey, you know, I notice that you're only getting 0.7% or 0.07% interest. We could get you better interest, or we could get you a better credit card, or that kind of thing. So I like this. I think this is probably all you really need. I don't know anybody who uses Quicken anymore. They have this new thing called Trends, which is kind of cool. I haven't tried it yet. And also, and I use it, they have smartphone and tablet apps for free, which I use all the time. That's how I keep up on what my what's going on, what my balances are and things. So more advanced filtering, customized by account, customized. And if you want, you know, when I go through my transactions, I often see that it's miscategorized. So I will fix that, you know. Subway's fast food, Rice Bowl's a restaurant, Domino's Pizza. This is obviously Abby's ATM card. Wonderworks Hobbies, the dentist. Yeah, but you know what? It does this all pretty well. It knows pretty much. I haven't entered anything in it. Spike's Junkyard Dogs, fast food, Hemingway Variety Shopping, Spotify Music. It knows all this. Ah, Kickstarter, uncategorized. It doesn't know what Kickstarter is. No, I didn't go to Subway. Honest, Dr. Mom, honest. Honest, I didn't, Dr. Mom. Comcast Television, Petaluma Market Groceries, Cucina Paradiso Food and Dining. It did it all. I go in occasionally and fix stuff, but I have rarely found anything wrong. It even knows what this is, which I don't. SQ Danger Tunes Music G. See, you figured out that was music. I have no idea what that is. It's obviously Henry, right? I did not go to Wendy's twice. That is clearly Abby. It's so funny. But this is really, I love Mint. Mint is fantastic. The Orbit skates will probably not show up till Monday at the earliest. I hope they show up in time for the Gizwiz. Otherwise, I'll have to do something else. Hey! I do not go to Wendy's or Domino's Pizza. I mean, maybe I could go to Wendy's, but I would never go to Domino's Pizza or Subway. The Baconator. Yeah. Hey. Dr. Mom, she doesn't believe me. She thinks she's going to get my insurance canceled. I need to find a lower third for Ring Central. I don't see it here. So where do our lower thirds hide? Oh, so I'll go to the TNT folder, eh? Titles. Is it in titles? TNT titles?
Yeah.
Ads.
Epson.
And I take it off to my closet where nobody else can
see. Hey, hey,
hey. I open that lid so slowly, take a peek up north, down south. Then I pull out a Hostess Twinkie and I pop it in my mouth.
So I'm looking, I have to say, you know, our caller was saying, what's a good multi-user Quicken? And even Intuit, which makes Quicken, doesn't want you to use Quicken anymore. Notice they've kind of not really had much success keeping that program up to date. They bought Mint, and I really think that they think, and I kind of agree with them, this is the future of personal finance. What Mint does is you hook it up. Now, I understand you might be a little concerned about this. I was. I didn't do Mint for a year. You hook it up. You give it the login credentials for all your accounts, your credit cards, your bank,
your investments, your mortgage, everything. And you might say, well, Leo, I'm not. This is who are these people? Why should I give them this stuff? Well, it turns out that they use a back-end service called Yodlee to do this stuff. Yodlee is what is going to be doing the login, and it's the same company the banks use. So they already know all. Yodlee actually already knows all your logins. So it's my opinion, and I have seen no reason not to believe this. That's, you know, look, it's Intuit. It's safe. It's a free service. The way they monetize is very interesting. They look at what interest rates you're getting for your savings, what interest rates you're paying on your credit cards, and then companies pay them to show you an ad saying, look, you could get better credit card rates if you just get this credit card. They're unobtrusive. They're not. I'm looking at my Mint account right now. I don't even see an ad. So I find this really fantastic because I'm no longer entering in transactions. Now, you can go through transactions if you wish and categorize them, but its auto-categorization is surprisingly good. In fact, some of the things that it's categorizing on my account, I have no idea. You know, my kids or somebody else did these. I don't know what they are, but they seem to know, and that's good. They figured it all out. So this is and then it will calculate budgets. It'll say, well, you spent this much on hair care, this much on junk food, this much on books. That's all really great. It's kind of the reason I think you would use something like Quicken or Intuit, except there's no more data entry. You can clean it up if you want, but I haven't found the need to at all. You can add transactions. You can actually do most of the stuff that you would do on Quicken if you want. And because it's online, anybody could do it. The database is not stored anywhere. Except online. Furthermore, you can use, they have smartphone apps, they have tablet apps that are free, which I love, which give me a quick look at my financial status. I admit it, it's a little bit of a leap of faith. There's a little bit of a trust thing going on here because you are giving, you know, your credentials to a third party. And some people just really aren't comfortable doing that. To me, it's not a problem. I don't mind doing it. And I sure get a lot of benefit for it from it. I really think it's just a fantastic tool. So and I would recommend it. And if you're uncomfortable with it, well, Intuit probably would say, well, you know, you can still use QuickBooks or Quicken for a while. They will keep them around for a while. Mike, Sylmar, California, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Mike.
Yes, sir. I mean, they're having a problem with the ESET, your favorite company there, your favorite virus company.
ESET, our sponsor, yeah.
Yes. They seem, according to the webmaster, they seem to be in cahoots with the big corporations, I guess. And
according to which webmaster? Who?
At the site that I go to.
So you go to a site and ESET says don't go to that site?
Yeah,
and the webmaster says, "Oh no, you can trust me."
Yeah,
he sits in cahoots with the better guys.
Well,
you know, take what you get. What was the warning that you get when you go to the website?
It says it has this what they call the HTML screenject. B.gen virus.
Well, it probably does then. You're thinking that ESET's saying that. Well, okay, so any antivirus can give false positives. The way viruses get spread most of the time nowadays is through websites that have been infected, often, and this is what I would tell you, Mike, often without the knowledge of the guy who runs the website. And I can say this with authority because it's happened to me. And generally what will happen is you not only get a warning from ESET, but Google or Yahoo or Microsoft will give you a warning as well saying this site has malware. So what happens is the bad guys, they found a whole new scam. You know, originally you got viruses on a floppy disk, right? Somebody give you a floppy disk, you'd put it in your machine, and it would copy a virus over. Then it went to USB keys. Then for a while it was on email attachments. You'd get emails. It would first thing it'd do is infect your computer, steal your address book, then mail itself out to everybody in your contact list. Remember that? We don't see that much anymore. Because now the way viruses are spread are through infected websites. So the bad guy finds a security flaw on the website. Again, take it from me. There's lots of them. Almost impossible to make a website 100% secure. It's very, very difficult. You're not getting told this because people want you to trust the web, but I've talked to webmasters for major sites, big, big sites, who say, oh, yeah, we get hacked all the time. When there's a lot of code running on a site, and most sites now, these big sites, there's a lot of code running on them, it's almost impossible to be 100% effective in locking it down. So these bad guys, they're out there. They're testing these sites all the time. If they and they do it automatically. It doesn't even take them any energy. They just run the thing overnight. They get up in the morning. They go, here's 53 sites that are vulnerable. They exploit those sites. They put something on there that will infect anybody who visits the site. And this is possibly what's happening to you. He said, I would trust, he said, if he said saying, hey, when you go to this site, there's malware on it. And I think it's probably irresponsible of the webmaster on that site to say, oh, it's not me. He sets in cahoots with, come on, dude, really? You know, we've had that happen to us. And the first thing I do is I get on the line with my sysadmin and I say, we've got a warning. We got a problem. Comb that site. Find out if there's any malware on it. And there always is. So are you feel fairly confident that the guy who's running this site knows what he's talking about?
It's a legitimate audit.
Doesn't matter. I'm a legitimate as well. It's not whether he's legitimate. It's not that he's doing it. He's been attacked. He doesn't know it yet.
That's the next part of my if I can, I have this two part question to this thing. I mean, this site is in the Ukraine, but this guy is, you know, is very knowledgeable, and they said they scanned their site from top to bottom, and then they went to ESET and told them that their site was clean, but ESET won't let them, is still blocking them.
We don't understand. We scan site 100%, and ESET still says it's bad. We are good site. Why is he saying this? Well, you got to decide who you're going to trust. I think I would trust ESET on that one. We are very, very careful on this site. No bad stuff on site. It's good site. Come on, come back, please. You enjoy it. This is set. What is he? Who is he? What kind of company is that? He's in cahoots. He's in cahoots with Edmunds and Consumer Reports or something. He doesn't want you to visit site.
I'll be honest with you. As soon as you said the site was in the Ukraine, my confidence that this site is above board is down about three notches. Most malware comes from the former Soviet Union, because what you have is a lot of very talented, very smart computer scientists who have no work. So almost all malware comes from former Soviet bloc nations. So, Mike, you know, you got to just, maybe the guy's knowledgeable. Maybe nothing's wrong with his site. Maybe his site got hacked. I'd be suspicious. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
He's capitalist, making big problem for us in Ukraine. It's not my fault. we are a good people.
Whether you're running a business, working...
We did not hack you.
Online sites, going to the post office to send out your letters and packages.
Oh, my goodness. In Soviet Ukraine, site hack you. Okay, so I'm still looking for Dial. Where else might it be? Or if I browse, would I find it? Oh, lardy, lardy. Ads. Go to meeting. I don't have a Ring Central ad. We'll be on Dropbox.
My name, Leo. You'll get a no-risk trial that includes $55 free postage. It's worth $110. You get the scale, you get the postage.
My other problem is I don't even know if it matches what's supposed to match. I don't see a Ring Central anywhere.
Stamps.com. Use my name, Leo. This
is Dropbox where we put our ad?
You'll see Epson everywhere. Printers, scanners, projectors. Same thing.
Yeah. The Ring Central. Megaplex projector is. I don't see it. It's not here. What happened to it? Oh, you take it over. Johnny, it's all yours. Hands off.
Your iPod.
Hands off the computer.
Anything on your iOS devices, it even charges them while they're...
I didn't... Oh, I touched the mouse. I'm sorry.
Macs, tablets, tablets, other smartphones and tablets, gaming consoles too. And Megaplex can project images up to 12 times the size.
No, ESET uses its own engine. It is from Slovakia. It was written by a professor at a university in, I think, in Prague.
Is $699 MSRP. The 2800 lumen 720p HD megaplex is $799 MSRP.
Ukraine was part of Soviet Union. Of course it was. That's where Stalin was from. Wasn't Stalin from Kiev? Who is from? I thought no. Who is from Ukraine? Stalin. He was Ukrainian. Oh, Georgia. That's right. He was Georgian. Hey, look at that. Thank you. Khrushchev was from Ukraine. That's right. I don't know what. I don't think it's promo code. Let me look. Yes, promo code tweet. Stalin was from Georgia. That's right. He was Georgian. And Khrushchev was Ukrainian. And Mila Kunis. And I trust her. So if she had website, I trust her. So, I don't know if I have time for commercial now. I'll do commercial after show. Uh-oh, here comes boss. Natasha, darling. Jimmy Carter was from Georgia, too. Yes, that's right. Really? Mila Jovovich is from the Ukraine? Wow. I know I wouldn't check on a Ukrainian Anna Kournikova site. It's just way it is. Okay. Well, they get free billboard sitting there for a while. Because I'll do it later. I want to put in big ad at beginning of show. So we just say this. Peanuts is from Georgia. Jimmy Carter is from Georgia. Well, he didn't really make a credible case against ESET in this case. My Ukrainian webmaster says it's a conspiracy.
Carbonite's the last live read today.
You see, I'm doing special dance right now. I am, I am very dancing.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Let's go to Hannah in Laguna Beach, our next call. Hey, Hannah, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Mr. Laporte. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure, Hannah. Thank you for calling.
It took me 2 days to get you, but it's worth it.
Well, 2 days isn't bad. I know there's people out there who've been trying for 5 years. Somebody was just talking about that in the chat room.
I am a very stubborn person.
What can I do for you, Hannah?
Here is my situation, Mr. Laporte.
Yes. Call me Leo, please.
Not a computer-wise. We don't do business. I had the old computer for maybe 5-6 years, but I bought a new laptop because I want to take some photography.
Yes.
And I'm learning. I couldn't afford the Apple. I bought a Dell 7-core and the Microsoft 7.
Okay.
All I do with the computer, Mr. Laporte, is emails, websites, Googling, typing, doing things. So I had a guy who helps me. I pay him $70 an hour, and it's too much for me to do.
No, that's not. Is he from the Ukraine?
No.
Okay, good.
By the way, he's very nice and very good teacher. He put me good on a computer, but he started with $25, and then he becomes $70. I put him in business, and he charged me now $70.
He was giving you a deal, Hannah, because $70 is really more
50 to 70 is more. 25 is very reasonable. He was giving you a deal. He must have liked you.
Anyway, Anyway, the situation is this way. I can receive emails. I can forward emails. When I want to replay, I cannot type. It doesn't type. And I wonder, I have the Outlook program. I wonder if I need a new Outlook.
No. There's something else wrong. So you said you can or cannot receive emails.
No, I do receive the email.
Email comes in, but you cannot send email.
I can forward an email.
Ah. You can send email, but you can't forward it.
When I replay, it comes up, but I cannot type. I cannot put the typing. It doesn't type. I type, the letters don't come out.
I see. So you could just press forward and send, but if you have to type anything, that's not going to happen.
Right.
Got it. So in no case, then, in Outlook, can you type at all?
I can type, for example, if I go to word processor, I can type.
Yeah, but in Outlook, you can't compose a new email. There's no typing involved.
No, I cannot compose an email. That's a problem.
Got it. Yeah, something's wrong with Outlook, but I don't think a new Outlook's going to fix that.
Well, I want an honest opinion, and the only person who can give me an honest opinion is you, because I called Dell. They said they need $100 a year to give me support.
So what happened? So you noticed, remember, you bought a Dell because it was less than an Apple. One of the reasons Dell is less than an Apple is they don't give you tech support, or they give you very minimal tech support because that's expensive.
If something wrong with the computer, with the mechanism of the computer.
I don't think it is. And in fact, I think the guy who was helping you probably could figure this out. It sounds like I don't think this is serious. Okay.
No, my question is if I need a new one or not.
No, you don't need a new one. There's nothing wrong with your computer. It's something going on with Outlook, and it sounds like it's probably something.
2000 Outlook is not new one.
Yeah, and all the other Office stuff works fine, right?
Right.
And you're not saying forward the email and then trying to edit that email you're forwarding.
No.
If you type new and you say you have a new email and you try to type, you can't type an address, you can't type a subject, right. Nothing.
The letter comes very, very small, like mosquitoes.
Oh, you see something, little tiny little mosquito droppings on there.
Right.
Oh, this is easy to fix. So Outlook has decided for some reason that your typeface should be 1 point, really tiny. So
it's not typing. It just those letters come.
Yeah, but it's typing. It's just that what you're not seeing the letters. You're seeing little tiny mosquitoes. But it is typing. It's just so small you can't see it.
No, it used to be that way. Not anymore. Now when I try to do that and try to go to the font and make them bigger, it doesn't work, and I cannot type. The cursor doesn't turn to be the cursor for typing for text.
Yeah, I mean, I this is probably, Hannah, something simple. You do not need a new computer. You do not need new software. It's a settings issue, probably. It's something probably that $70 an hour guy could sit down with you and go, yeah, let me show you and fix. I can't because I'm not sitting right next to you, and I can't see what's going on. But there is something simple, I'm absolutely convinced, having to do with the settings or something going on with the computer. So a couple of things you could do. One thing you might try, Hannah, and this is an easy thing and it's free, is uninstall Outlook. Go to the Programs and Features Control Panel and uninstall Outlook. You might even uninstall all of Office and reinstall it. If you have the original disks, just reinstall it. That'll at least get it back to the default settings, the normal settings. You could also go into Outlook and reset your settings, go back and reset your settings. I don't think that this is a mess. I think there's some setting that's messed up, and it's probably a simple thing to fix. I think it's a simple thing to fix, but it's not something I can, unfortunately, I can walk you through or do for you, because I'd have to sit in front of the computer to see it. So maybe this is worth finding another guy to help you. You know, he could probably help you, but I realize $70 an hour for that hardly is worth it. I'm not a big fan of Outlook. You know, there's a, you could just, well, I don't want to get started. Go to Outlook.com and sign up for that. It's a new Microsoft email. It's great. It's easy. It's simple. It's on the web page. It's not in a separate account. And I would just use that, frankly. Let's say hi to Vince in Long Beach, California. He's our next caller. Hi, Vince. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Leo, good afternoon. How you doing?
Yes, I'm doing well. Good afternoon.
Yeah, I have a question. What's the difference between the second and third generation i5 when it comes to processors?
Well, you're talking about the new new Ivy Bridge versus the old Sandy Bridge, I presume.
That's correct.
Intel's really muddied the water. They actually make a Celeron i5, which is something completely different. If you really want to know the details, there are good websites like Anand Tech, ANANDTech.com, where you can really read up on like what's different. But I'll give you the quick and dirty version. The Ivy Bridge is a new process, which means it's a 32 nanometer, maybe even smaller. So that means it's lower power. The chip itself, the system on a chip, has more capabilities. If you have a choice, I would get it because it's the modern thing. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 22 nanometers. But if you have Sandy Bridge, don't. You're right. Don't go crazy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on MacBreak Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.